Log Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something duckers who will let us get away with it.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the...
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
welcome back to another night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I'm waiting for our co-host V to make it into the building here. I am going to play a bunch of clips today. Otherwise, and I might talk a little bit later on, but I'm waiting for V to make it in, so I don't want to go on without her until I know it's too late. So we could start with, I want to make sure that we know about 15-minute cities. So I want to get into that real quick here. And if I see somebody wants to call in, I'll break out of whatever we're doing and take a call. That's not a problem. I just don't want to sit here and talk to four and by myself today. So that's what I'm working on. So let's go ahead and get started here. All right, so I want to get into 15-minute cities. It's just a two-minute clip.
Before the Russian lockdowns around the world, we led hectic lives with long commutes and not enough time to spend with our families and friends. Traffic polluted our air and smog blanketed our skyline.
What if it could be different? What if we could create a new normal where we reclaim our time, our health and well-being, and our communities?
This is the idea behind the 15-Minute City, a growing movement to make our lives in cities more convenient, less stressful, and more sustainable. A 15-Minute City is one where everything we need is close to home, where communities are safe and inclusive, where the air is clean.
A 15-Minute City is one where it's easy to get goods and services. Fresh groceries, healthcare, and other amenities are all just a short trip away. A 15-minute city is one where everyone has a place.
A 15-minute city has affordable, accessible, and adaptable housing for households of all sizes and ages.
A 15-minute city means that you can work close to home or work remotely more often.
And we all play a role in our neighborhood.
What if we don't go back to life as it was?
This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
What if we already have the power to change how we live? Together, we can reimagine and create the future we want. One that is cleaner, safer, healthier, and more inclusive. And gives us back valuable time to enjoy the little things.
All right, so for those that don't know what a 15-minute city is, they want to build, say I'm in Las Vegas, so you'll have roughly about a mile, and it'll be 15 minutes where you can walk to and from your house. And that will be what you're allowed to do. So you'll have zones within your city, and you're not allowed to go out of your zone without proper authorization. So it'll be not 15-minute driving city, but it will be 15-minute city where you can walk, because the goal is to take the cars away from the people. And so you'll have to have special access in order to use a vehicle, and the ones that you buy may or may not be ones that you can charge. And it's all based on the upcoming social credit scores. So that's one way that they were able to gouge the price of gas for a bit and do a stress test on what people will pay. And people happily paid the $6 a gallon. And so you'll have your QR code to show what part of the city you're allowed to be in. And then you have your QR code so that you can go into the grocery stores that you're allowed to go in regarding your 15-minute city. And so, yeah, you'll need your cell phone, which I do not own and will not own. And you'll need your QR code in order to live life. So at first it'll be on your phone, then it will be on your person. Then it will be in your person. So I used to think that people would not accept this, but hey, for the fourth time, people are in various big liberal cities are being told to wear scams again, and they're putting their scams on. You have major influencers out there saying that scams don't work, but that doesn't matter. Oh, none of that matters. So the White House COVID coordinator even says that they don't work. And I'll play this real quick. I don't know how the audio is going to work here because I don't have it uploaded, but I want to play this.
I actually think this is probably the most important long-term thing we can be doing for schools, for office buildings, for nursing homes. Indoor air quality is sort of has just not gotten the level of attention it deserves. You know, most experts believe that if we make some basic investments in indoor air quality, we can reduce all respiratory infections by 30, 60, even 80%. I mean, the notion that you could cut respiratory infections, there's no study in the world that shows that masks work that well. So you're never going to get the kind of benefit from mandatory year-round masking as you would from making substantial improvements in indoor air quality.
Do we have to expect prolongation of the pandemic or at least the epidemic? Or how would you foresee the future?
Yes.
Or do we have to, and I may immediately ask a second question, should we be afraid of another virus? And yeah. What does it mean how we create the necessary resilience personally, nationally, globally?
On the first question, I don't think that the virus will disappear. We are not certain about it, but most scientists agree that the virus will be around forever. But the real question that everybody's asking is not this. It is, can we get our lives back? Can we live normal, can normal economic activity, normal social activity with the virus present? And the answer is yes. I think we can. Absent a variant that we have not foreseen right now that can happen, but it's not the most likely scenario. I think we have the means right now, very effective vaccines, as the virus mutates, we have the ability to follow up and update the vaccines and to have treatments. With that, people should not die anymore, even if we are not following the way that we are following the social measures in the past. Now, on the second question, shall we are afraid of a new, very different virus that would come, and we have now all these examples with the monkey pox? I don't think we should be afraid, but I think we should be prepared. And that should, even the little fear that we have, that should ease it. And if we are prepared, I think science will win.
Now, some people may argue you have now these new treatments. Some people may argue, why should I get vaccinated if there is a treatment? Well, how would you respond?
Because I think the goal is not for you to get sick and then treat you. The goal is to prevent the sickness. And that will maximize your chances to do well.
It's a long clip. They go on for 45 minutes telling lie after lie after lie. If you just joined us about 10 minutes ago, we played Benjamin Netanyahu, who just got reelected to be the leader of Israel, saying, oh, they made the decision with Albert Bourla, the head of Pfizer, you just heard speaking with Klaus Schwab, that we would use the Israeli population and others that live there as guinea pigs, as the new science center of the world, making people take experimental shots to see how these shots affect them. Well, they already knew from rat studies what these shots would do. They'd cause blood clots, heart attacks, and more. They've gone over that ad nauseum. But now, there are more studies out. This is from Peter A. McCullough, MD. More evidence that frequent, repeated, failed boosters is weakening the immune system. Many reasons to get off the train, recover, and let natural immune system do its job. And this is the Chongqing Medical University study. Current COVID-19 booster is erasing the human immune system. Extended STARS COVID-2 RBD booster vaccination induces humoral and cellular immune tolerance in mice, meaning the immune system gets turned off. Oh, and you know what happens when that happens. You get cancer, amongst other things. Here's the actual medical university study and current study of the vaccines, the heart vaccines. Meanwhile, New Yorker magazine just came out and said the case for wearing masks forever, despite the fact that all the government and private studies show that masks do absolutely nothing. Top White House COVID advisor Dr. Jha finally admits on the record on a Zoom call that there's no study in the world that shows that masks work. Back, cue that clip up. We're going to play that clip here in just a moment. So all we're told is lie after lie after lie by these people. And then I've got some astounding clips out of Japan that are just incredible. They're subtitled. They're up on Infowars.com. But two major medical university heads have done their own studies of people that have been taking the shots in Japan and have confirmed, quote, taking the shot, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, or AstraZeneca, makes you more susceptible to getting sick, catching the virus, and dying, which we already know, but now that's Japan. Here's a headline. The dam is breaking in Japan. Two more professors speaking out against the vaccine. Professor Manaka Nagao from Hiroshima University School of Medicine. We believe the vax is related to immune abnormalities. There's a bunch of other professors also, including two heads of the medical schools, saying things just as serious, saying the same things, basically. And we've got these headlines. Something weird's happening with birth rates in all the countries that took the shots. They're the lowest ever recorded, falling off a cliff just 2 years ago, exactly with the shots. And what did the CDC documents in October 2000 say? Infertility as well. But it's okay, because Benjamin Netanyahu says you're just lab rats, and that's just the way it is. And Israel's taking the lead, making their people lab rats so that they will submit. Let's play that short clip with the White House medical advisor admitting the masks don't work. I'm going to play back-to-back with that a clip of Bill Gates giving a little prelude of what he's planning next year in 2023.
I actually think this is probably the most important long-term thing we can be doing for schools, for office buildings, for nursing homes. Indoor air quality is sort of has just not gotten the level of attention it deserves. You know, most experts believe that if we make some basic investments in indoor air quality, we can reduce all respiratory infections by 30, 60, even 80%. I mean, the notion that you could cut respiratory infections, there's no study in the world that shows that masks work that well. So you're never going to get the kind of benefit from mandatory year-round masking as you would from making substantial improvements in indoor air quality. But it's a lot easier to.
I just published my Yearhead 2023 letter looking at what's going to happen in the next 12 months and beyond. Life is changing. I'm about to become a grandfather. I reflect on the challenges we have right now with climate change getting worse, the Ukraine war, tough economic cycle. But it's hopefully uplifting because I also share great innovations. A great example is gene therapy could cure HIV. A AI-powered ultrasound machine that will help save lives of moms and newborns. Climate technologies that will make it so the emissions from buildings go down quite dramatically. I'm excited that we can get back making progress on tough issues. I hope you'll take a few minutes to read why I think we can make the future a lot better than the past. You can check it out at GatesNotes.com.
What a nice man who literally created COVID-19 and ran the whole lockdown operation with the Communist Chinese and the whole world program to force things into your body, destroy your medical autonomy. I'm going to do this because I said I'd take calls for the entire second and third hour, but I've got more I want to hit. So when I start the next hour, I'm going to hit the whole Agenda 2030, smart cities, carbon lockdowns under the guise of the WEF's 15-minute cities initiative that's now operational, and then we'll go to your phone calls. I will give the number out, though. We get your calls lined up at the start of the next segment, so we'll open the phones up at the start of the next segment. I want to come back and play Klaus Schwab, openly talks about brainwashing children and running the education process basically worldwide. And why is this so important? Because when Bill Gates or the WEF say they want something, it's done. And it's standardized policy worldwide. We're already deep into world government, and the leading edge of it, the tip of their spear, is the medical tyranny. That's why we hammer this and hammer this and hammer this, because they already tried to bring new lockdowns back. They already tried to bring new forced injections back. And everywhere they're being turned back. They're being defeated because the people are waking up. But if we go back to sleep, they're going to come right back. So we're barely winning right now. We've got to continue with the criminal investigations that have now started in Germany and the U.S. and everywhere. And we've got to bring these criminals to justice in the court of public opinion and the courts themselves. And then they do deserve the death penalty for what they've done. Crimes against humanity that dwarf Joseph Mengele.
Look, it's not hype when you deliver. And info.
All right, so we're good there. All right, I'll play the Tucker Carlson here.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Tucker Carlson Tonight. I'm Sean Duffy in for Tucker. This summer, the Department of Transportation, led by Mayor Pete Buttigieg, announced two big initiatives involving air travel. The first part of the plan was to, quote, diversify the aviation workforce based on skin color and gender. In other words, equity. Mayor Pete's second major declaration was that existing airline pilots had to retire by the age of 65. Not 67, as some lawmakers were proposing. After the age of 65, Mayor Pete said, you can still be president of the United States, but you're definitely not allowed to fly planes. Buttigieg never explained how racial quotas and forced retirements would improve the reliability of air travel ahead of the holiday travel rush, but he insisted it would definitely help. 6 months later, this is the state of air travel in the United States.
In Chicago and around the country, mountains of luggage with no travelers to claim them.
Like, I want to cry. I'm tired.
Frustrated, tired, pissed off.
Baby Amelia, her mom Marissa, and grandma Rachel spent this little one's first Christmas stuck in the Dallas airport.
It was hard. It was hard seeing all the families with other newborns and children just sleeping on the floor.
The family from Gallup, New Mexico says Southwest rebooked, then canceled their flights 5 times.
Kimberly Day is pregnant and traveling with her 2 children. They've been trying to get from Phoenix to New York to visit a sick relative. On Tuesday, Southwest told them it cannot rebook their flight until Saturday.
Kaylin O'Connor's Southwest flight from Oklahoma City to Pensacola was canceled Monday, and the earliest flight Southwest offered her was Thursday.
When you go to try to rebook on the Southwest app, nothing is available until January 1st, and they expect you to pay the difference in fare for your ticket.
It's a total nightmare. There's only one person happy about the airport mess and the massive pileups of luggage at all these airports, and that's Sam Britton. And the truth is, everything about this crisis was foreseeable. In August, 38 state attorneys general wrote to Congress to report that Pete Buttigieg was ignoring consumer complaints in the airline industry. Unfortunately, the agency has thus far failed to respond, the attorney generals wrote. They were so outraged that they called on Congress to strip the Department of Transportation of the ability to oversee customer complaints against the airlines and awarded it to the states themselves. It's not hard to see why those attorney generals were so furious. Without reliable air travel, the economy collapses. And Mayor Pete was ignoring the problem. He was able to do that because, despite his fixation on climate change, Buttigieg flies everywhere on private jets. What's striking is how often this happens. There's a crisis, and Pete Buttigieg decides to ignore it. Mayor Pete went on vacation in Portugal just a couple weeks ago as rail workers prepared to strike. He was on paternity leave as dozens of container ships couldn't enter the country a year ago. And Mayor Pete hasn't even mentioned this horrifying story of a woman freezing to death in her car just before Christmas while driving home from work. Buttigieg loves to talk about racist roads, but he hasn't mentioned this tragedy at all. Here's an NBC report.
People walking the streets with sidewalks submerged days after the deadliest storm in the city's history. Now more than 30 dead in western New York, among them Andel Taylor, her sisters say.
She was one of the best sisters, daughters, friends, aunts you could ever have.
Taylor's sisters say she pulled over on her drive home from work Friday with the storm bearing down. They say Taylor took these videos in her final hours, calling 911 for help that didn't make it in time. A resident finding her dead the day before Christmas.
As Andel Taylor was sitting in her car for hours, she texted with family members about the long wait for help. Taylor's sister couldn't believe New York officials were so caught off guard by the blizzard. She texted, quote, unsurprised in a state known for it, or unprepared in a state known for it. More than 35 people died during the Buffalo blizzard. Many of them had been stranded, like Andel Taylor, without any assistance from first responders. This is a massive failure of state and federal leadership. But instead of acknowledging that, Pete Buttigieg, he's ignoring it. For her part, New York's Governor Kathy Hochul is blaming, you guessed it, climate change. She says it's making the weather far more dangerous. But the truth is that the number of people dying from natural disasters, particularly storms and extreme temperatures, is plummeted in the last century. That's because competent leadership responds to these disasters and minimizes the loss of life and human suffering. But incompetent leaders, leaders like Joe Biden, they vacation in the Virgin Islands and ignore disasters. That's why the Texas border now looks like this.
Today, Fox cameras capturing hundreds of migrants in four separate groups crossing into the U.S. at the southern border in Eagle Pass, Texas. Hundreds of miles to the northwest in El Paso, a wire fence rapidly erected and hundreds of military personnel are in place to prepare for a potentially explosive surge of migrants. Also in El Paso, this massive tent, larger than a football field, set up by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, will act as a processing center if there is a surge. With freezing temperatures, shelters there are full. Migrants have been sleeping on the streets with donated blankets.
Weeks ago, before he went on vacation, Joe Biden was asked why he doesn't visit the southern border. There's more important things going on, Biden said. Now, as expected, hundreds of thousands of illegal migrants are flooding the border into a country that's already becoming more third world-like every day. People are freezing to death in their cars, and air travel isn't even close to reliable. You have to ask, if this administration wanted to overwhelm and sabotage what's left of the country's infrastructure, what exactly would they do differently? Ned Ryan is the CEO of American Majority, and he joins me now. Ned, good to see you. So, Ned.
Thanks, Sean.
Serious question. What do you do differently if you weren't trying to destroy American infrastructure?
You wouldn't do anything differently. I mean, if you hated America, it clearly is demonstrated in their day-to-day actions how much they loathe and despise the American people, the idea of national sovereignty, all of these things that have made us a great nation. But it really is startling, Sean, to see it all on display. But it really does. It's not that much of a mystery when you start to think about it. Biden and Buttigieg are not there for their competence because they're clearly incompetent. They're there to give us a kind of an illusion of normalcy to let the true governors of this country, the managerial class of the administrative state, do the business. And they're just there to fill a position, don't rock the boat. Just be a figurehead, but not really actually govern and come up with solutions, which I think fits Biden just fine. I don't think he knows he's in the White House half the time. And, right. And for Pete, he can slip out of the transportation for a 4-month paternity leave, and for the first half, nobody even knew he was gone. But people keep asking, why aren't they fixing these crises? Because they don't care. I mean, why would they care about the Buffalo disaster? It doesn't affect the managerial class. It doesn't affect the elite of this country. Why would they care about the commercial airline crisis? Mayor Pete flies private half the time, most of the time, actually, along with his friends, and he doesn't fly commercial with the peasants, so why should they be bothered? And as for immigration, why should they even be concerned about immigration? They want to import more voters to continue right. their hold on power. And I think we have to come, as we see all of these things happening, this is truly a loathsome, vile governance that is taking place in this country right now, the American people, specifically the middle class, are held in deep contempt. And I think we have to come to the conclusion, Sean, that we're not really living in a constitutional republic. And once we've come to the acknowledgement of that truth, that we are living in an administrative state, I think the next question we have to ask ourselves, do we actually have the political courage for the struggle to try and restore the republic? Because it won't be an easy one.
No, and that's a really good question. And so do you think the American people have that heart to say, listen, we have to get back to what we used to have, whether it was 20, 40, 60 years ago? Because you're right, the administrative state has taken over. I mean, for example, I mean, Pete Buttigieg sits as the Secretary of Transportation. He couldn't fill the potholes in South Bend, Indiana. But he's now been elevated to what he's going to investigate Southwest.
Wait, no, he checks a box. I mean, we all know why Pete is there. He checks a box. He's not there for his competence. And again, he's not really running transportation. The unelected bureaucrats are. But I think the real question for the American people is, I think it really is dawning on them, Sean, as this country really starts to fracture and fall apart, something is very wrong. I don't think they've had that clear revelation just yet of what is actually taking place with an administrative state and elites that don't care for them, hate and loathe and despise them, view them as their ATMs, and that's about it. When it dawns on enough of the American people that this is what is taking place, hopefully they will rise up and say, we are going to affect political change, because it's only through political power, Sean, the political power to be in that position to break apart the administrative state and devolve power, drain the swamp, and restore the republic. But you won't have it until enough of the American people wake up, and I hope they do sooner rather than later.
You know, the case in point for you, Ned, I mean, when I served in politics, I was in Congress for 9 years,
yeah.
You have a crisis like this, and this is a great opportunity to show that you can lead, that you can fix the problems that you were elected to fix. And here you have this group of people who, to your point, they don't care. They're servicing the elite class, the donor class, but the average American who's concerned about people coming across the southern border, people who are stuck in airports because they can't get home for Christmas, or people stuck in cars in Buffalo. I mean, even moms who can't get milk, they don't seem to care about any of those issues. Quick last response.
But the desire to fix those problems first has to start with caring,
yeah.
And they don't care. So if they don't care, they're not going to fix it because they don't want to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ned Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, China's sudden COVID U-turn exposes what we've known all along, that lockdowns never worked, and a huge chunk of the world is about to get infected all at once. What does that mean for the United States? That's next. Plus, Chip Roy is one of the few congressmen who, in either party, has taken a chance to look at the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill. Chip Roy, straight ahead. China's COVID zero policy was praised by several public health experts in the United States, but it's been a disaster. Now that policy is ending, millions of people in China are being exposed to COVID for the first time, all at once. Here's Fox's Greg Pelcock.
COVID-19 is ripping through China 3 years after the first cases emerged there. Emergency rooms overflowing with patients. Mass fever clinics set up to handle the overflow. Medicines in short supply. Domestic vaccines inefficient. Bodies of new victims brought to morgues. As infections soar, new deaths could reach a million or more. The new wave of China COVID could also affect the world, including the U.S. Mutant strains from a mass infection creating international health risks.
What implications does this have for the United States? Here's one bad sign. Milan reports that 50% of passengers on flights from China have COVID. In response, the CDC is requiring negative COVID tests from Chinese visitors to the United States. All of this is clear evidence that COVID zero lockdown policies are a complete failure. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is a professor of medicine at Stanford University, and he's been one of the leading critics of universal lockdowns. Dr. Jay joins us now. Doctor, good to see you. So what's going on in China with the reversal on the complete lockdowns and now the spread of COVID?
Well, the Chinese followed what they call the zero COVID policy. Zero COVID means that whenever there was even a single case or a very small number of cases, they would take draconian measures. They locked down buildings. Like, there's one story of a building where they locked the doors and a fire happened and people died inside trying to get out. They would do routine testing, the enormous quarantine facilities. All this effort to essentially disrupting Chinese society, violating their civil rights on a mass scale. They even had a drone floating around saying to people, control your soul's desire for freedom. None of that worked. And the shocking thing is that they kept at it for so long. You know, a lot of public health authorities wanted something like that here in the United States. With a smiley face, I guess. It was inevitable that this virus was going to infect basically everybody. It's a highly infectious respiratory disease. Our efforts to try to control the spread of it, well, we don't have a technology that does that. And finally, I think the Chinese authorities capitulated. The problem is that they didn't protect their elderly population. That's who's still at high risk. And as you said earlier, Sean, there's a lot of people in China who've never been infected before that have a lot of that are really at high risk. And their healthcare system is much more easily overwhelmed than ours is. And that's what we're seeing now. It's tragic. And I at this point, I just there's not much I can do other than to pray for the people of China, because it is an absolutely a disaster what they've had to go through the last year as a result of their move from zero COVID to essentially now letting it rip.
But, Doctor, we also had these lockdowns here in the States. We shut down our schools. I mean, our economy was decimated, not to the extent of China. But do you think the U.S. has learned something from what we did and did wrong, and now what China has now realized is that, to your point, you can't stop the spread of this disease. You can't lock people down and think it's not going to spread, and that if another pandemic comes, that we'll change course and address the pandemic differently than we've done with this pandemic?
Sean, that's something I'm very worried about. The World Health Organization, it's actually put containment at the center of its approach to future pandemics. The Biden administration, has basically, I think, rubber-stamped the same kind of a containment idea when there's another pandemic. Unless there's a concerted effort by political leaders to examine the failure of our COVID policies, and then put in place plans so that we don't lock down again, I'm afraid it will come back.
You know, Doctor, before I let you go, obviously this is spreading throughout China. Almost 250 million people are infected in the last 20 days in China. Massive outbreak. Is there a risk that there will be a new variant that we haven't seen yet that will start in China and again come to the U.S. and affect more Americans?
Well, so there's, from what I understand, four major Omicron variants floating around in China that are different than the ones in the U.S. But they're all Omicron variants. I really don't worry too much about that. As long as people in the U.S., we've vaccination on a large scale, very large fraction of the population in the U.S. have been infected and recovered, we have a lot of protection against the Omicron variants that are floating around even in China. So I'm not so much worried about that.
Doctor, thanks for being with me, and thanks for being such a clear voice on this issue. When everyone was trying to shut you down, you were still speaking whenever you could in any platform that you could. America is grateful for that. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, John.
All right, Chip Roy is one of the only lawmakers in Congress who actually read the 4,000-page, $1.7 trillion spending bill that just passed. Here was his assessment of the bill.
We had 18 Republicans who joined with Democrats in the Senate get on their fancy planes and go home, and we're sitting here trying to do the work of the people, not spend money we don't have, not drive up more inflation, not have 7,500 earmarks for $16 billion for pet leftist projects across this country. What you see here on the floor of the House of Representatives should make everybody ashamed.
Chip Roy represents Texas in Congress and joins us now to tell us more about the bill. Chip, great to see you. And by the way, some people don't recognize the power of the floor. Great passion, great speech. Tell me the biggest concern you have about this $1.7 trillion monstrosity.
Well, good evening, Sean. Merry Christmas.
Merry
great
Christmas.
To be on. And look, where to begin in terms of our concerns about this bill? $1.7 trillion, 4,100 pages dropped on us. You know, you got a day to look at it, a day to pour over it. As you said, all of our staff, we're digging through it. My staff, we went through it. Notably, there is actual language in the bill that prohibits the use of the funding for the Border Patrol, for the Homeland Security, to be used by Border Patrol to secure the border. Yet you have 18 Republican senators who go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to side with Democrats. I'm going to vote for this lousy bill that's going to hamstring our ability to use the power of the purse to demand that Biden secure the border and deal with that crisis, and ignore the fact that they're actually hamstringing them further. But it goes beyond that. It's not just the 7,500 earmarks, the $16 billion, the $670 million in earmarks for Richard Shelby as he's walking out the door, the senior Senate Republican appropriator. It's the fact that you're giving more money to the tyrants at the FBI. They get a brand new headquarters, $400 million. You're giving more money to the NIH that Jay Bhattacharya just told you is absolutely foolish. He was actually put on a blacklist by big tech, and we're going to give more money to the FBI, who is targeting big tech and going after and censoring people like Jay Bhattacharya. Why would we do that? And the most important question, why would 18 Republican senators do that and stick it to the House Republican majority after the American people gave us the majority?
That's a good question. And see, look at 18 Republican senators who voted for this bill. They could have done just a CR, a continuing resolution, continued spending for, you know, a month or, you know, 6 weeks until you guys took over control of the House, and you could have had your own Republican bill. They chose not to do that. Have you asked any Republican senator, one from Texas yourself, why they would have done this to Republicans who are about to take over control of the U.S. House? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, sure. I've asked a number of them, and the answers are pretty pathetic, to be honest with you, from all of them.
What do they say?
There is no excuse for voting this bill. Well, what they tell you is, well, this is the best we were going to get, Chip. And you know what they mean by that? It's not our debate about the speaker's race. What they actually mean by that is you guys would have fought us over the spending levels on the military spending and on Ukraine. This was all about Ukraine money and defense spending, which, by the way, I'm sure you'll agree with me. I'm all for getting the proper resources to our defense and to our men and women in uniform and having guns and planes and bullets and training to kill people and blow things up. What I'm not for is a social engineering experiment wrapped in a uniform. And what I'm not for is a blank check to Ukraine. What I'm not for is using that as an excuse to pile on more debt and not do the hard work of forcing a conversation about what we're spending. Those senators are hiding behind national defense to spend money we don't have, weaken our border, and undermine a Republican majority that wants to try to do it the right way. And there is no excuse for it. Zero. And I'll debate any one of them anywhere they want to do it.
And, Chip, here's the problem. Republicans go to their constituents and people who give them money and say, listen, we're going to lower the debt and we're going to do all these great things for free enterprise. And then they vote on packages like this. I don't know how any Republican can go to any donor or any volunteer or any voter and say, listen, I'm going to fight for you, when they actually vote for this kind of garbage. I don't know how I think they've lost all credibility.
I agree with you, sir. And look, we're dealing with this crisis getting exponentially worse at the border. And again, those 18 Republican senators took away our leverage to use the power of the purse to force change, and they're actually making it worse by giving them more money to process more people. And you're seeing what's happening. All this Title 42 stuff is a shiny object that Republicans are hiding behind. You could take away the whole Title 42 issue, and you still have a massive crisis. 230,000 people in November, 60,000 or so were turned away under Title 42. That still leaves 160,000 people. It's extraordinary what's happening, and Republicans are playing along with it. We need to use every tool at our disposal in the House, the debt ceiling, anything we can, and next September 30th, the power of the purse.
You know, you're right, and by the way, you don't get to use this Republican majority until September 30th, when this new budget is going to be done and new spending bills are going to be voted on. Chip Roy, smart and aggressive. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John. God bless you.
God bless. All right, crime is increasing all over the country, but people are starting to fight back. A woman was filmed protecting a Waffle House while a Marine just foiled an armed robbery at a jewelry store. That Marine is going to join us straight ahead. Shoplifting is becoming a lot more common in 2021. Retail theft was up roughly 30%, but businesses and their employees are beginning to fight back. Jason Rance is a Seattle radio host, and he joins me now with a few examples. Jason, what do you got?
Hey, Sean, 2022 was defined by a culture of lawlessness thanks to Democrat soft-on-crime policies and police defunding. And in just the last week, we've been seeing more and more folks simply refusing to follow the law, but also pushing back. In Buffalo, New York, as we inch closer to 40 deaths from the storm, miscreants were looting local businesses, but one man shamed his neighbors into returning items they were stealing from a Family Dollar store.
Put the back. Did you buy it?
Huh?
Did you buy it?
I'm trying to buy it.
All right, put it back. Put everything back. Come on. Y'all robbing it?
Not even.
Come on. Everybody got to let go. Come on. Man, put back. Put everything back where it's supposed to be.
Meanwhile, in New York City, someone who looks to be the owner of a clothing shop had enough with one shoplifter holding the door shut until she paid.
Go pay, I'll let you go. Go pay.
You sure?
Go pay, I'll let you go.
I will pay, mister.
Go pay.
Please, I will pay.
Go.
How much is it?
Go pay.
Now, shoplifting is so bad that a Manhattan Walgreens resorted to locking up its drumsticks and Haagen-Dazs with a chain and padlock. New York City shoplifting hit record highs this year, with the NYPD saying complaints are up roughly 18,000. Now, that same store was forced to put its coffee beans and coffee creamer behind anti-theft devices, because under progressive DA Alvin Bragg, even the most prolific shoplifters are getting a pass. Now, finally, a video from last year went viral this week when it was posted. We've been seeing these kinds of videos far too often, frankly. A massive brawl ended up breaking out at a Waffle House in Democrat-run Austin, Texas. Check out this employee who decided to stand up for herself after a woman jumped over the counter. Wow, so done. Maybe this all foreshadows some good news on the horizon. 2023 could see a theme of people finally pushing back and maybe helping end this crime crisis.
You know, Jason, as you don't have prosecutors, you know, prosecuting defendants and criminals, I wonder, are they given a pass to also those Good Samaritans who protect their stores and push back on these shoplifters?
Well, I seem to remember in New York a bodega owner getting in some trouble for actually defending himself. So in some cases, the answer is no.
Yeah, good point. Jason Rance. Thanks for that report. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate
it. All right, a few days before Christmas, in Torrance, California, robbers tried to pull off a smash-and-grab robbery at a jewelry store. Inside a nearby recruiting station, a Marine and an applicant, along with several bystanders, they heard the commotion, and very quickly, the group of Good Samaritans detained the perpetrators.
Get him, homie! Get him, homie! Get him! Get him out, homie! Get them all! Let's go! Semper Fi, salute. That's my homie. Put it down for America.
Almost all the jewelry has been recovered. One of the people who helped detain the robbers was Marine Staff Sergeant Jose Fragoso, and he joins us now. Jose, good to see you. And I got to tell you what, fantastic video. You and one of the applicants to the Marines stepped into gear. Tell us what happened.
Yes, sir. Good evening. What initially happened is that I heard a bunch of glass breaking, and when I did, the first response was to go check out Dan's jewelry. I know there were just two doors down. I had to make sure everything was all right. And as I approached the jewelry store, I saw four individuals that were robbing the store. They had a sledgehammer there. Once they were coming out, I was able to apprehend one of the suspects. With applicant of mine, was able to apprehend another one. And between a couple of us and a bystander, we actually were able to detain two of the four for the police to come by and just take them away.
Jose, I imagine that the criminals here didn't intend to meet Marines as they were trying to do this smash and grab. Did they seem surprised that there was a group of you that were going to step into gear and stop this burglary in the process?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think they definitely expected to have individuals in uniform stop them that weren't police officers.
Yeah, no doubt, and good for you guys. So you had an applicant actually in your office at the time, you said, who was applying to join the Marines. Has he been admitted? What's his status right now?
Currently, he's still in the process, sir. So he's enlisting right now. We are currently just waiting on a couple of different things to continue his process, but he definitely will be enlisting.
And so you said that in regard to the jewelry store, all the jewelry got back, and I think, if I got the story right, two of the criminals were apprehended by you guys, but did two get away, and were they later apprehended? How did that work?
Yes, sir. So two end up getting away. I'm not really sure about the background of it. I know we were able to detain two. I'm not sure the police officer were able to take the other two as well.
Okay, and your superiors, did they support you springing into action? Because sometimes I'm not sure where the military goes on issues like this. Obviously, you're a recruiter, but also you're an American and a good Samaritan. You saw this happen. Are your superiors happy with what you've done? Have you been commended for your action?
Yes, you were, sir. They were absolutely very happy. They thanked me. They said it's the Marine thing to do to make sure we uphold our own values.
You know, I can say what, it's always great to have Marines around. And I loved in the video, they were yelling Semper Fi to you. It's like, all right, I got some family and support around as I'm stepping in and protecting this business. Staff Sergeant Jose Fragoso, thanks for joining me, and thanks for your great bravery, and thanks for your service to the country. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Next, is there more to the human story on Earth than contemporary scholars recognize? Tucker is back after the break with a mind-bending conversation. Stick with us. When Balenciaga released that disturbing ad campaign last month, which featured a young girl holding a teddy bear in bondage gear, people thankfully reacted. Balenciaga's parent company called Kering saw its stock price plummet compared to its rivals, as you can see on your screen right now. But the sexualization of children is continuing anyway, even though no one wants this garbage. Gucci just released an ad featuring the singer Harry Styles posing with a child's mattress. He's also wearing a pink teddy bear shirt. And Benetton just posted photos of kids in underwear. What's going on here? Robbie Starbuck is the host of the Robbie Starbuck Show and joins us now. Robbie, good to see you. I mean, I got to tell you what, I mean, this is the most outrageous thing, that we're sexualizing children for the sale of adult clothing. What do you make of this?
It's absolutely outrageous, Sean. And let me just say, you know, it's easy to reflexively jump to attacking the left for this because this comes from their woke ideology.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's time for the rest of America to look in the mirror, because silent majorities kill nations. And the silent majority we have here in America is incredibly dangerous, because silent majorities allow very, really crazy extreme minorities to then go rule with very loud voices.
Right.
And when they do that, this is the outcome. You allow these loud voices in the room to rule over everyone. And worse yet, the media and every pillar of culture and entertainment and everything else, they came together to manufacture that silence. And not only that, they somehow convinced us that being a silent majority was a good thing. That has to change in order for us to fix this culture. And people need to speak up, frankly. They've got to be loud and proud with their values and with rejecting values like this and saying, we are not going to allow the sexualization of kids in America, period. There is no discussion. We're not going to go to the table and say, let's negotiate. There's no negotiation here. We will not allow this in America. And until we all step up and say that and have these uncomfortable conversations, I fear we're going to see more of this. And, you know, with my career from Hollywood directing Oscar-winning actors, actresses, some of the biggest music stars, I can tell you, none of this is a mistake. The idea that this is just one or two bad people, that's not how this works. The number of people who have to sign off on ad campaigns like this is immense. They know what they're doing. The truth is they just don't care. They don't care about the safety of kids or the sexualization of kids. They care about manufacturing kids who will turn into adults that are a part of their woke agenda, and they know that if they groom them now, it's more likely they'll be with them later. And that's why we all need to stand up.
You know, Robbie, a moment ago we had the video from Benetton, or the photo of the Benetton. I mean, these are like 9-year-old girls. We blurred out most of it. But they're standing in sexual poses in underwear. I mean, if you see this full screen, it is absolutely outrageous. And I can't help but think that not only are we sexualizing kids, but we're normalizing pedophilia, that adults should be attracted to young children, which, by the way, Robbie, this makes children the target of people who want to do bad things against these children, sexual acts towards these children, as opposed to a culture that would say, you know what, we're made to protect children. We're to make sure that we put those pedophiles behind bars. We put them in jail. We don't encourage pedophiles with ads like this.
Yeah, and I would pose this question to people. When has a nation existed that was permissive of this type of sexualization of children and accepted pedophilia and lasted? Nations don't last when you take the most vulnerable and you say, you know what, let the monsters eat them up. And that's what we're essentially doing, and it's being backed up by academia. And then when you look at further into that backstop, governments across the globe, the UN, they're all a part of this idea that there should be a child rights agenda where kids should have the right to sexualization or to have sex changes or have sex with adults. And the truth is, there is no sex with adults. You can't do that. It's rape, okay? And they don't want to talk about that, but they're doing this in third world countries. They want to bring it here, and we've got to reject it. If we don't, we're in big, big trouble. And if people want to help this, they can go to places like freedomforever.us and help organizations like that who are fighting this on the ground every day.
You know, Robbie, those people who want to make that transition, one, they're sickos themselves, or they've never had a 9-year, 10-year, 14-year-old little girl to think that they should be sexualized. One good thing coming out of this is that moms left and right of all political stripes are standing up and pushing back to protect their little girls. Thank God for that. Robbie Starbuck, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
All right, here's a question. How are the pyramids built? Randall Carlson, no relation to Tucker, is a master builder with a fascination with ancient geometry. And he's been thinking a lot about this, and he's also a philosopher. He just sat down with Tucker for a mind-blowing, mind-numbing conversation about some of the oldest structures on the planet and how they're still standing. That's part of a new episode of Tucker Carlson Today. Here it is.
The whole question that I'm trying to raise is that, is it possible that there's more to the human story on Earth than conventional scholarship has at this point recognized?
Well, we didn't know dinosaurs existed not that long ago, so that's like a fairly new discovery. right? So, of course, there's a lot we don't know, like, right?
Yeah.
So what are the markers, as someone who's interested in anthropology and archaeology, would you say, for human civilization that predates the recorded history that we have, that are like kind of anomalous, doesn't really sort of make sense? Like, are there, the pyramids are clearly one, are there others where you think, what is that?
Well, here's the problem. What has not been recognized until now is the magnitude of some of the changes that have unfolded on this planet of ours in the time that we humans have been here.
Do you mean physical changes?
Physical changes.
Yes.
Yes. Catastrophic changes.
Yes.
Things that could have easily erased whatever was already there. Whatever was... Changes, let me put it to you this way. Changes on a scale that if they were to happen today, an archaeologist 10,000 years from now would find very little trace of us even having been here. I mean, changes that are on that scale.
The glacial period, the ice ages?
Yeah, the ice you've had... Since the time that humans first, modern humans, and we don't know how far back they go. I mean, I used to say 150,000 years, and then there were new discoveries, put it back to 180,000. Now there's been more discoveries suggesting 200,000. I don't know what the limit's going to be. Like Graham Hancock says, these things keep getting older and older. But within that time, there has been a whole succession of glacial, interglacial oscillations. Those shifts are quite dramatic.
You can stream Tucker's full conversation with Randall Carlson right now on Fox Nation. Looks like a fascinating conversation. All right, single mom Shantae Mallory was out of work and homeless when she became pregnant with her third child. That's when she went to an abortion clinic, but something happened that made Mallory change her mind. She'll tell us how she decided to keep her child and what her life is like now. That, straight ahead.
Voy a mover la cámara que se, no se ve nada.
All right, we're back. All right, so a judge in Illinois decided today that part of the no cash bail that Chicago wants to do, which is even more pro-criminal than New York City and San Francisco, where they're even allowing murder to just get a ticket and then you go to court in a few months. So there's part of that that a judge said was unconstitutional. And I was hoping that V would jump in here, which she will in just a second. V, if you're ready, just press the lucky number one, and I'll bring you in. Or I'll just bring you in a few seconds. I'll just draft you otherwise. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, there's V.
Good evening.
It's been forever since I've talked to you, it seems like.
Thank you for thanking me.
So is there anybody out there in New York City that thinks this no cash bail in New York City is working?
I don't know of anyone. And you know what's funny? A lot of people didn't know that there were some rules changed in 2021 that allowed a person who had been arrested by because of you to have your full name, full address, and phone number. And when I told a lot of people that, they were like surprised. They were like, why would you give a criminal who committed a crime against me my number and my address? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, some of it was for burglary, which obviously the perpetrator already knew the address because they were there breaking into your house. But just the whole non-bail thing, I don't know, but too many people, like progressives, really intense progressives, who will say, oh, I don't want to see black and brown people adversely affected by, you know, bail. They don't have money like that. And obviously they're committing crimes because they're trying to survive because this system is held them down and they're, you know, racism and
Well, it's one thing to be stealing a package of chicken. It's another thing to be in the Apple store and stealing multiple phones.
I see you can sell them on the eBay and let go of the street corner.
And yeah, people are going to justify that, where other business people actually have to buy the product and resell it?
Yes. You know, when you're in a bad situation, when you've been oppressed for so long, you've taken on all kinds of criminal behaviors to survive. You know, you've got to feed yourself and possibly a family. You're trying to kind of escape homelessness, you know, or if you're already homeless, then you're trying to stay above water. Just, I've heard everything, but it's just so rare for the common person, and I mean like the working person, to think that bail and not putting bail on someone who commits a felony crime is okay, you know. I didn't see too much protest from Black and brown people who were poor saying, wow, you know, when I committed this felony, I was really put out by the bail. Like, they're talking about going to jail. Like, you're not worried about no bail. It's just insane.
But from what I've seen, and I could be completely wrong, V, because I don't get to hang out on those mean streets. But it's just, it seems like the white liberal is the one that's more accepting of the crimes and the cash bail.
Yes, they'll be the first
people in
one
the hood generally understand that you're not allowed to steal stuff.
That's right. They'll be the first ones to the white liberals will be the first ones to look the other way and blame systematic racism and cry tears for them, long tears.
You don't hear blacks out there complaining that they don't know how to get IDs.
No, really. That was the craziest thing that they came up with, that, you know, it's so much work and that black people have to take off from work if they do have a job, and that they don't know exactly where the DMV is. They don't have smartphones. They don't have computers. They don't have Wi-Fi for any of the devices that they do have. I saw some street interviews where they were asking you know, black people on the streets in like Harlem, do you have any trouble getting an ID? And they were like, no, what the hell are you talking about, man? Like, ready to punch the interviewer out and the camera person. And then you got like a bunch of white kids on college campuses, and they were asking, why do you think, you know, this voter ID thing is racist? And they were like, huh, you know, it's not easy for them to go and apply for ID. They don't know how to do it online. Like, you know, the access to the information is not as readily available. So, again, systemic racism. To blame for everything.
I just think personally that's racist. I could be completely wrong, but I think
it,
when
it,
you say
black
people can't afford ID, that's racist.
Right. Yes, that's the irony. I never understood that they're over here saying that something is racist, while at the same time the reasoning behind their advocating against it is racist in and of itself. I think there's a lack of self-awareness, obviously.
Well, it just comes to a point, though, and you've kind of heard me over the last few weeks that I'm not as optimistic as I used to be, and it's just sad to me that you have a White House COVID's representative that goes out and says there's no study ever that shows that scams work on stopping COVID's, but yet, when they say, all right, we got to put the scams back on, everybody just shuts up and puts their scams on.
Right, and there are studies. The people were citing them from 2020. There were studies that were predating that. There was even a study that I think Dr. Fauci quoted about how after the Spanish flu, people wearing cloth masks became very ill with pneumonia within 2 years of the end of the pandemic. And it was because they had a cloth mask on for so long, they got that buildup of bacteria in the lungs. I forgot what it's called. Forgive me.
Sure. But anyway, that's people don't care. In New York City, are they wearing scams?
I still see people driving by themselves with it, and I still see people walking in the streets with them. You'll see the occasional person in the supermarket.
I thought they were trying to push making them mandatory in New York City.
Right. I think they were trying to put them back in the schools. That's what it was. But they have consistently been mandated in, like, hospital or clinic facilities, any medical facility,
yeah.
Even a dentist's office, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, so I've always wondered how that works.
Amazing. I mean, I went into a blood draw facility, like, you know, like a Quest Diagnostics, so I can get some blood drawn. And they had a box with a sign that said you must wear a mask, you know, due to whatever mandate there was for medical facilities. And I was like, it's so stupid. I'm coming in to get blood drawn. I'm not sick. And that initially was the case. It was like, you know, because there was a so-called shortage of masks. If you were sick, you wore a mask. If you were not, you left yourself breathing free. And then it was like, oh, no, everybody has to wear them just in case because you could be an asymptomatic spreader, which we found out later was not true. I've been having a lot of flashbacks of the last 2 years. A lot of stuff I've been looking through, like my timeline of photos, because I took a lot of screenshots and I kept a lot of tweets and article pages. And I'm just like, wow, the stuff that we put up with, you know?
Well, this is grooming, though. So
right.
Just think how likely it is that they could shut down the U.S. economy in 2023 and tell people you have to have a QR code and a mark of the beast in order to buy and sell, and the average person won't even question it. They'll just do it.
Right. Well, we already have people already starting. And in a way, we were groomed with things like Fitbits or Apple Watches or smartwatches and, of course, the cell phone, which you don't use to this day. Did you ever have a cell phone? I don't remember if you've ever told me.
I had a sponsor once for 3 months. That gave me a flip phone. And I used it for exactly one phone call and two texts that were inside my house because I was putting up ads and it needed a 6-digit code sent to a cell phone.
And that's it?
So after the 90 days, they were done, and then I forget who I gave the phone to.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we've become very dependent.
I took one call to see if the phone worked and two text messages from whatever Craigslist or Twitter or whatever it was.
Wow. Craigslist. I haven't heard that name in a while. Is it still around?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't even know that.
So does that count as using a cell phone? I don't know.
It does. And the radiation exposure is proof.
Okay.
Proof positive, proof negative.
Well, I really, like I said, I didn't use it.
Well, I think it's good. You're one of the rare. There's actually a good chunk of Americans that don't have cell phones, but nobody talks about them. Because like 80% of the country does, you know.
Yeah, I think 97% of the country has a cell phone.
Oh, really? It was like that?
Yeah, I remember reading that a few months ago.
Oh, okay. That's a lot.
Yeah, but will they be able to just say, okay, everybody needs a QR code in order to get in to a grocery store, and then it will be something like whether it's a tattoo or a wristband or something, and then it will be inside your skin.
That's right.
So it'll be implemented. It'll be implemented just in phases.
You've got the QR codes now with the Whole Foods where you wave your cell phone.
Right.
And it has it. You've got the Swedish people doing the implants in the hand, which they use to open the door of their building. They use it to pay at registers. I don't see it having much more function than that.
Yeah, if the greatest convenience is that I can open a door without touching it, Yeah, that's kind of sad that's the life people want, where I would rather go against my Lord and Savior so that I can go through a door without having to touch it with my hand. Do you know how stupid that sounds?
Yes, I know. But look at what they're going to do with money. They're going to say money is so dirty and covered in germs and bacteria. You know, that's why we have to move to something digital. Also, to keep track of how you spend, but they won't ever mention that. And then you have the whole company that grows your babies for you once they fertilize your egg with your husband's, cells. And then you go ahead and have something else grow your baby because it'll be germ-free and there's less risk of miscarriage and you don't have to worry about stretching your body out of shape and, there's less risk for illness for your baby. There won't be blindness or deafness. And you can alter their DNA so that they're taller, have different skin color, hair texture than you and your husband, and even have a higher IQ.
Yeah, but they could say they want a higher IQ, but then you have to get your gene therapy, and then you're a vegetable.
Right. I'm sure they'll be vaccinating once they're in there. And they also recycle all the waste. Like any waste that comes out from the fake umbilical cord that they put on these little babies, it goes through the system that filters out anything that, you know, is already can't be used. And they turn it around, they clean it up, they fill it with nutrients, and they put it right back into the baby. Fascinating. That's the future. It's like almost like that movie with Sylvester Stallone. What was it called? Demolition Man, where you had to put on a virtual reality mask. Yeah, you couldn't kiss. If you wanted a baby, you had to get permission, and then you had to go through a lab because they weren't letting you grow it.
Hey, there are drag people and trans people that want heterosexuality to be banned.
Right. They don't think it's the norm. They think that homosexuality or transgender lifestyles are the norm. They think that should be normalized.
Not like just normalized, but have the other side banned. I just believe that if you wanted your rights, then your right to marry whomever you want, everybody should not live just like you. And that's the thing that liberals just don't understand, is that people that are not liberal, we don't care what somebody else does with their life. I personally don't care if the people three doors down from my house are living a gay lifestyle. It doesn't matter to me. But they're offended that I'm married to a wife.
Right. That doesn't make sense.
And that's what I don't understand, is that you want equality, but the equality has to match your standards, not everybody's standards.
Right. It's very communistic. It's fascistic.
And they accuse us of that because we don't want to listen to what they have to say.
But they think that Christians force their values on everybody else by using things like the Constitution or other values like the heterosexuality and all the family values of bringing your children and believing. They think that creates a cult mentality, a kind of bubble lifestyle. And
I don't see what part of the Constitution is racist and homophobic. I don't see anything in there talking about gays or black people or any specific person.
No, definitely not in the New Testament, but, you know, the Old Testament, definitely Leviticus and Deuteronomy mention, you know.
Oh, I was saying the Constitution, not the Ten Commandments.
The Bible. Oh, my bad. But, yeah, like the Constitution doesn't say anything about that. It talks about everybody being free and, all of our rights, but they're all God-given. That's what the Constitution talks about that. And then I think people keep bringing up the time where the Catholic Church was just slaying people left and right. It's like, we're out of that era, you know, and this is not Catholicism either. Like Christianity, they think is like one and the same, but I've heard people thinking, you know, that Christians are banging down people's doors, trying to get everyone to convert when that's like Jehovah's Witnesses and like Mormons. And they're totally different from each other, those groups. It's a lot to learn. One thing I've seen people talk about Jesus a lot more, because so many Christians are talking about the book of Revelation and Jesus coming back. A lot of people are like, what? Jesus, what? And the non-believers are coming out and they're insulting. And the thing is that they, now Poof, you know damn well, if it was Islam and they were Muslims and you were in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq, you would not be having these conversations. You would not be mocking God. You would not be mocking the Quran. You know, but these people do it because I'm sad to say that, you know, Christians let them get away with it. You don't see any pushback from Christians in a way that is, you know, terrifying or, you know, history-making. You got people getting away with talking any kind of way about the Bible, about Jesus, you know, making jokes and memes and insulting your intelligence. They call God a sky daddy and they call Adam a mud man and Eve a rib woman. And all these ridiculous mockeries. But I think a lot of Christians are kind of like, well, you're not insulting me, you're insulting God, and that's between you and him. But nah. Don't insult me for believing in the one true God and his son who came and died for us. Don't insult me. But how many of us are willing to go, you know what, I will punch you in your throat? How many of us? Too many are willing to turn the other cheek.
Well, and with all these people that are non-believers, you know they're going to believe in that microchip when it comes out.
That's right.
And we're going to be called anti-chippers.
That's right. They already got the word out there. Already published.
Didn't we talk about that 2 weeks ago?
That's right. It's in an article. The anti-chippers. Like, we are another group of what insufferable people that they have to put up with. When, you know, technology is moving forward and people are trying to advance, we're going to be holding everything back because we refuse to comply. There's not going to be any reprieve.
Well,
not
advancing. That's called racing to the bottom.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, you're not gonna catch me getting a chip. I'll get a chip right after I get a cell phone.
Right. So you know what that means. I mean, according to what we've read, we know that people like ourselves are going to be killed for what we refuse to comply
yeah.
with. And that martyrdom is supposed to put you in a state of glory as far as heaven goes, but that is not the legacy you'll be leaving behind. It'll just make you look like another one of the crazies. Because my freedom... You didn't get chips because of my freedom.
Yeah, we used to hold dear our rights. Now it's you get laughed at for wanting rights.
Isn't
How dare
funny?
You not want to be a communist?
Right, it's amazing. And kids talk about communism so casually, like it's a group that you join or club after college. You know, after classes are out, you go to your communist club and you talk about. Your goals collectively, it's not that easy. And you know, when I tell these kids, because of course I have to open my mouth and chime in the conversation, I'm like, you guys don't want communism. And they'll be like, well, please give us an alternative. And it's like they just are so dead set against capitalism because they see that we don't have the actual free market capitalism.
No, we have
the
corporate fascism
so
right now.
Right, exactly. So, like, how can I even... give them an idea of what free market capitalism is like when they've never experienced it. We have corporate bailouts, and look at what happened with this airline. What is it, Southwest? They get
yeah.
bailouts, thousands of their customers, with their poor planning and their low staffing. Where's all the money going? Where is it all going? All of our tax dollars can go right to that.
Well, there are some people that think Southwest is working with the government because it's just odd how Southwest is the one that has the most issues out of all of them.
I agree. Didn't a lady get sucked out of the window in Southwest on an airplane?
They did what?
A woman got sucked out of the window.
Oh, I don't know that.
A window broke, and she got pulled out.
Oh.
Crazy. Yeah, we might have to look that up.
Okay, I haven't heard that.
A lot of crazy stuff. Planes are in bad shape. They're understaffed. And I think I've heard from pilots that they fired so many pilots for not getting vaccinated, and they lost a great number afterwards that were vaccinated, that they won't admit it to the public that they are desperately looking. They even lowered the standards for pilots to be hired.
Was Southwest one of those that was hardcore with firing people?
Yes, all of them were.
Okay. Well, I guess there you go then.
Yeah. It's like karma. But I don't believe in karma. It's just not really sure
what
else to call
it. But look at it this way. If they can give the airline industry such a bad name and a bad rap, nobody will fly, then the globalists win because they don't want us traveling anyway.
That's so true. And they're going to give people 20-minute neighborhoods or 15-minute neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You'll never leave your zone.
So does that mean that your 15-minute neighborhood, so if somebody lives two blocks away, do they have the same 15 minutes as you, or is theirs two blocks different?
That's right. No, if you're within the zone, everything should be within a 15, 20-minute walk away, everything.
Yeah, but as far as that goes, somebody on the other end of the 15 minutes, that if you're in the middle, that's a 30-minute span or even more, because 15 minutes doesn't go just one direction, does it?
No, it's like a circle.
Yeah.
So you have your job, your kids' school, your shopping, your entertainment, all of it is walking distance. And they want to do this other thing where if you do have a car, then everybody in your neighborhood shares your car too. And you all schedule when you're going to drive it.
Oh.
That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Because I know I heard of a few car manufacturers that say that it's time to stop Americans from owning their own cars.
That's right. That's why they started registering. They made it legal to register an electric vehicle as though it were its own owner. You don't need people anymore. That's why it's so stupid to do away with the sense of self, like the womanhood, the pronouns. All of it makes you kind of blurry, so you're not a person anymore.
Yeah.
And it just makes it easier to eradicate. Like the way Canada is doing the assisted suicide for people who can't afford to move, who can't afford medication. They're like, look, it's better just to die because you're not contributing to society.
Yeah, that's one of the most Naziest things I've ever heard in my life.
Isn't it crazy? And nobody in Canada is blinking. Like, do these people even protest out there? They must be fluoridating the heck out of that water over there, seriously.
But they're even having, like, coloring books for schools, the kids. You're giving first graders a book in Canada called MAID, and they're teaching people they're teaching the kids medical assistance in dying.
Right.
Can you imagine coloring a coloring book in first grade talking about killing yourself?
Man, no. I can't, just the same way I can't imagine a drag queen coming in and reading a story about how you might not be a boy or a girl with a little walrus or some crap like that. Or a bipolar bear.
Bipolar bear? I didn't even see that.
No, I'm just making it up.
Oh.
Bipolar bear.
I was
going to
say, I could hear some of those people getting hip into that.
Right.
Yeah, don't give them any ideas.
No, really. Delete that. Rewind it. Delete.
So it's been a couple weeks since you saw a certain superhero.
Oh. Please do tell.
All right. Well, let's bring him on right now.
Excellent.
You know, I thought you were talking about broccoli, man.
Oh, I did too.
I swear, I thought you were talking about broccoli, man.
I really did too. And look at that, he calls you a superhero. That's a great compliment.
Well, yes, it is, but, you know, there's more than one superhero out there, that's for sure.
That's true.
And
none of them are in the medical profession. None of them are in the medical profession. Did you see that video I put
no.
up on Facebook?
Yeah.
It was a compilation of all the medical staff that put TikToks out of them dancing in the hospital. No
oh,
amnesty for any of them.
I
hated
yeah,
it when they
that
did
up.
That.
I didn't
think any of it was cute. I was like, whose idea was this? And why is it catching on? Like, it's trendy. Like, do your job. Or act like you're doing a job. Something.
It's
infuriating.
About insanity. That's what it's all about.
No amnesty.
You know, it's funny. They were talking the other day about the death rate in the U.S. Longevity in the U.S. dropped from 77 years to 76.4.
Mm.
And they're blaming COVID.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, if they're blaming COVID now, wait.
They were blaming heart attacks.
Oh, I thought they were
going to
just
television.
Blame dying suddenly.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
Well, a lot of people are dying now. They had Bob Marley's grandson just died.
That's right. Saw that.
Yeah, I saw Pele died also.
Yeah, Pele. Ooh. Soccer player.
Pele died. But he had cancer since.
He
had cancer. Like, well, I saw.
But he got
on
sick
the
from
he
the
was suffering
back.
From cancer for a couple of years.
He got sick.
But
from
he only
the
had
back.
Cancer
and,
since last year.
But cancer is one of the side effects of the vax too. It's in the list of the 94,000.
Yeah, everything is a side effect, and including what happened to Celine Dion.
Right, that
yeah.
statue. Yeah. What
person.
Is that statue?
Fifth person disease.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth person disease, which I think is crazy. But
what else?
Oh, did you hear about the facial recognition stuff that was going on in Manhattan?
No, but I know they started it.
In Radio City, Radio City was, or MSG, Madison Square Garden Entertainment, which Radio City apparently owned, I didn't know this, a woman was going in to see the Rockettes, the Winter Show, with one of her kids. And the mother, was denied access into Radio City because her law firm was suing Madison. She worked for a law firm that was suing MSG.
Right.
My question, and I think this is one that no one seems to be asking, is how did Madison Square Garden Entertainment get her likeness?
How'd they get her face?
Yeah, but
that's interesting because
how do they know?
I was going to say that it wasn't a woman. It was a lawyer. You know, that's different. They're not human lawyers. So
yeah, that's true. But how did they know who this person was that was walking in?
Right. That facial recognition got her as part of the team, I guess, that's suing, and she has been denied access.
But where did her image come from? For them to have in a database to look at everyone's face when they walk into the
place. Yeah, who was allowed to purchase that image?
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, I would think you can get it from anywhere now.
Where did it come from? Motor vehicle? I guarantee it probably had to come from DMV. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's pretty. They have enhanced photos, so.
That's pretty bold. I mean, let me tell you something. When the cops used to go to when I was a cop, when we needed a photo of someone, you have to get a warrant. And if they're just selling people's likenesses out there, man.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to keep suing.
Crazy.
They're going to add to that lawsuit now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for this.
Yeah, I don't understand how the DMV could sell driver's licenses like that, or pictures of driver's licenses.
So, like I said, if that's what they did, that's really messed up.
Well, it's only illegal if they get punished for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, but it's just scary that they're using facial recognition like that to allow you access to into an establishment. You haven't done nothing. Except
true.
That you work for a company that's suing your company.
Right. It's not like she stole from them, and she's banned.
No.
You know, like
yeah.
petty larceny, grand larceny, nothing like that. She didn't commit any crime.
It's like she, yes.
But
Lisa,
who else
where's it going to be? She's been arrested.
Besides any attorneys that sue that are a part of a mass lawsuit, who else is denied access? You know, we're only hearing about her.
It's crazy.
It is. The only way to get around that facial recognition is to wear, like, some type of thing that covers your face and distorts the shape
you
of your face.
Yeah, your nose and your mouth. That's it.
Yeah, because they can do it with the shape of your head and the shape of your body and how you walk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something
that
there's
been people that said that they've learned facial recognition for people wearing scams, so you just have to make sure your eyes are covered.
Right, exactly. Right, I've seen some nice masks that they cover the whole face and they look like pleated plastic, but you can see clearly through them. It's just on the other side of it. You can't tell the shape of an eye, nose, or mouth. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So everybody's going to wear Daft Punk helmets, I guess.
Yeah, that's really like what it's going to be. We're all going to wear motorcycle helmets or some crap.
It's insane. You know, but, you know, just this, like I said, the fact that, you know, you're just there to watch a show. You're not there to protest anything. You're not there to cause any kind of mayhem or anything. You're just there for your personal entertainment, and you're denied access because your company is suing my company. We don't want you in yet.
That's crazy. And they have the right to do
and,
it.
And,
what,
and
private business.
And the thing is, the security guards. From what I understand the story, the security guards in Radio City approached her and asked her for her ID. Who the hell are you to give some security guard your ID?
You kiss my grip.
I'm not giving you my ID. No, I'm not who you say I am.
Oh, you're like that guy in Waukesha. How dare you call me Darren Brooks?
That's right, I remember he
yeah,
said that.
Yeah, in the lawsuit, yeah. Yeah, the one that was,
that's my
that was on trial.
Name. Only my mama called me that.
Yeah.
Remember how they painted it so that his Jeep hit the people and not him?
Yeah.
Well, boop. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it would be like the gun going off and not the person pulling the trigger.
Right. Gun violence, that broad term that doesn't really point to anything. And you know, United States is the only country that adds suicides by gun to the list of gun violence deaths. So it makes us look like one of the top 10 most violent countries. But if you take away the suicides,
right.
then we'd be ranking at the bottom with peaceful countries like Laos, you know, or like countries that have absolutely very little gun violence. So it just really is so peppered throughout the country. It's so small. But it looks like a big deal. I mean, obviously what happened in Uvalde is such a big deal.
Yeah, but
we don't know anything about this kid.
And nobody's saying anything about that.
Right, we've got no information on this kid except that, you know, he shot his grandma in the face and he just went over to this school and was like, today's the day, you know? Like, his grandma survived. She can't talk, but she can communicate, you know? Like, and then apparently he bought the guns legally. That's a huge deal. The majority of the gun crimes that we have in the country, though, are committed by people who don't have legal licenses for guns. So forget that. We can't talk about that.
See, something else that happened today is, I don't know if you guys saw, but Andrew Tate was arrested in Romania for sex trafficking.
Yes, we saw. I noticed he wasn't handcuffed. I guess that's how they do it. Andrew Tate, he's like this famous guy who motivates and inspires men to take more traditional roles, like back in biblical times, or, well, now he's Muslim.
No, I never heard of him before.
Whoa, he's famous. There's a lot of his stuff out there.
What the hell? Where have I been?
Dang it. Proof, you have any, like, clips of Tate that you can send to Vito? Because he's out of the loop here.
Yeah, I'm surprised
on that. Yeah. How have you never heard of this man? He's a famous kickboxer. Like, he's British, trained and probably fought more in the UK. He became rich also because he was, I think, selling women. He was doing webcam businesses. So, like, he was running the webcam business and women would go live, and he got a portion of whatever they made. So I guess a lot of people felt that he was involved in trafficking from that point. And he developed a bit of a reputation when this girl falsely accused him of kidnapping her, but his home surveillance video proved that she was there of her own free will. She turned off her cell phone and she had a good time. But one of the last things that she did was tell her boyfriend that Tate wouldn't let her go, that she was being held there against her will. And then she turned off her phone, had him worried sick. He called the police. The Tate was arrested, and then he had to show the video footage of his home to prove that the girl was there at her own free will. That was a pretty big deal. Got him a bad reputation really fast.
He's not even, I just Googled him. He's not familiar. I can't.
Andrew Tate? You got to look him up on, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
Do you have TikTok? I mean, I hate to use TikTok, but there's a ton of people who use Tate quotes from all the times he's been on podcasts, and they put them on TikTok. And some of them are, honestly, for men, I think they're very inspiring. You know, I don't think the messenger is perfect. I guess that would be the case with most of these guys, but who have a message about being traditional, taking care of a woman, and that women shouldn't be loose and sleeping around. That they should have some of the respect for themselves, especially when there's a man, and that a man should be a provider, a protector. But a lot of people find that to be misogynistic. So, you know, he gets slapped with the label.
Wow. Unbelievable. He's arrested in Romania.
Yeah.
That's where he lives. Yeah. The cops there are pretty crooked, though, Proof. Like, what if the United States paid the police over there to arrest them and trump up some fake charges?
Oh, I know. That's what I halfway expect here.
That's a damn shame.
And I don't know a thing about Andrew Tate, but it just sounds like a setup.
Right. Totally. Last month.
So V, we never did get to check out the last two Broccoli Mans.
Broccoli Man, let's do it.
All right. I hope I'm not boring you with this, but let's give you – I gave you a link to one of them.
All right. Send it.
So on this one, Broccoli Man's on vacation.
I'm ready.
This one's going to be a good one.
All right. So let's check it out. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello to all you freedomists out there. I had to use some vacation time, so I decided to get out in the snow for a few days. It is hard trying to wake everyone up out there. Most Americans are still asleep. They love wearing their scams and believe everything the smell-o-vision says. Even though nearly every medical research study and safety agencies are saying these gene therapies are deadly, people are still getting them. Some employers are still trying to force them on their employees. When the employees die from getting it, the jobs try to say it is not their fault, even though they required it. The worst part is that if your spouse died from the gene therapy, you cannot sue the drug manufacturer. That is from a law made in 1986 signed by Ronald Reagan. It releases the drug companies from being sued for drug side effects. So if a job forces you to get a gene therapy or lose your job, and you die, you are the only one at fault. Yes. Can I help you?
I came out here to tell you how much I hate you. I am so much better than you because I am a trans. I do not eat meat, and I got all 72 of my boosters.
Hey, that's great. It is your body, your choice. You can do whatever you want. You do you.
Hey, broccoli person. You did not hear me. I am better than you. I am a trans vegan that is current on all my boosters.
Yes. I said I do not care what you do with your person. You do you.
You are an election denier and refuse to allow two men can get each other pregnant. Just because they both have hole punchers does not mean they should not be allowed to get pregnant. You are so racist, homophobic, transphobic, and pedophobic. You are the ultimate loser.
Hey, I am on vacation. I drove 9 hours to Guggy away from liberals like you in town. Why are you also here?
Well, I needed to tell you I am a trans vegan that supports the current thing.
Okay. You are entitled to your opinion. Now that you said your opinion, you can now leave, correct?
But you did not acknowledge that I am correct and I am a much better person than you. You are so stupid that you still have a gender. Genders are for stupid people or racist homophobes.
I don't care how liberal you are. You are still born with a hole or a hole puncher. And whatever you have is none of my business. I do not want to hang around you or be your friend.
That's exactly what I mean. You are such a racist homophobe. You are probably against drag queen story time. Why are you against 9-year-old wearing G-strings and touching women's penises?
Well, for one thing, only men have hole punchers.
I hope you get arrested for hate speech. Women can have whatever body parts they want.
Then, tell me what a woman is.
I cannot tell you what a woman is. I am not a biologist.
I will arrest anyone who tries to diddle or touch private parts of little kids.
It should not be illegal to be a minor attracted person. Just like it should not be illegal for a woman with a junk to tell an 8-year-old to touch the drag queen's junk. Or to look at their junk.
Can you please just get as far away from me as possible? This is just harassment now.
The train going back home comes back tomorrow at 9 a.m. It is not my fault I had to get on the train and yell at you.
Can you go back to town and go get a burger or some seafood someplace?
You are disgusting. How dare you tell me to eat meat? I only eat Impossible burgers or anything made with soy.
I can tell.
That was not funny, broccoli person. I am so loving and liberal. I like everyone who agrees with me all the time.
Why is it a normal, conservative person does not care what a liberal does? but a liberal can get in someone's face and call them whatever names they want? And that is accepted.
It's because George Soros spends billions of dollars to force people to believe the same things I have been taught to believe in.
Just because George Soros pays for the collapse of the United States, it does not mean it is a good thing.
The world will be a much better place if America collapses and becomes a third world country. Then that means we will have a communist government and dumbasses like you who do not support the current thing will be taken to a FEMA camp that does not exist. It will be perfect if everyone gets a microchip and you have to scan your hand everywhere to buy something.
Please explain why that is much better than free market capitalism.
Well, it means that if you believe in God, you will be forced to either believe in God or die or get a microchip and support the current thing. I believe the Earth and the Prophet Muhammad are the two best leaders.
Hey, that's great. As a Christian, I do not force you to believe what I believe. You can do you. Even if I feel it is a bad choice. I expect the same courtesy. You will not ever convince me to step away from Jesus Christ or God.
See? You are something Doc Earp or not believing in the same afterlife as I do.
Hey again everyone. Please get educated and do not listen to liberals like this. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on freedomizerradio.com. He is on 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great co-hosts, awesome guests, and a lot of things that we need to know what the globalists are doing to us. There are other shows on Freedomizer Radio also. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live.
You are a piece of ish. We just need to watch fake news so we can know what the globalists want us to do. You need to stop eating meat and to eat the bugs and owns the nothing.
I hope it was all right.
You good?
That was funny, dude. Dude, that was funny.
Yeah, well, liberal person took a train 9 hours to catch up with broccoli person.
When she called him person, I was like, oh, snap, I just caught that. She's, like, giving him a pronoun.
Yeah, I only eat Impossible and stuff made with soy. I could tell.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Oh. It was such a pretty background, too. Like, what was that? Like a Christmas tree or something?
Yeah, there's one other one while Broccoli Man was on vacation.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh, I see. The wiretap. He's the creepiest one out of all of them.
See, my Wednesday co-host, Amanda, she hates from the millennials, Mike. The one that's trying to get the have his girlfriend get him pregnant. The one with the deep voice?
Yes, the scary Satan voice that Howard Stern used to do.
Yeah.
Can't believe I used to listen to that show. My God, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I was never really a Howard Stern fan.
No, I don't think I was either. I just thought I liked his guests. He had all kinds of people on.
Oh, I don't have a clue what he does now.
Well, I've popped his show on every once in a while, and this is a while back. And he went completely stupid leftist.
Yep, totally.
Right.
Like, he was so anti-establishment that now he became the establishment almost. It's crazy.
Right, exactly. Yes.
You know, and I'm like, I don't get it. I'm like, what the
yeah,
hell
Howard
is he
Stern
doing? This is not the same Howard
I'll
Stern.
I don't understand that.
Right. Yo, he made like $300 million off his book, his first book. Do you remember that?
Private Parts?
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
Right, I remember the movie.
Yeah, he loved his wife. But look at that. They're not even together anymore. And he's with some supermodel. That's crazy to me.
All right, well, let's get this cashless society with the wiretap out.
All right.
All right, so I'll count it down if you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, Freedomists. I am hoping everyone out there has an excellent new year. I know it has been a rough last few years ever since Brandon was inserted as president. We just have to get away from New World Order and globalists trying to take over the entire planet. If everyone can stop complying with the globalists, stop getting gene therapies, do not support drag queen story time, and never ever put scams on your face. The more you comply, the more the globalists will do to us all. We need to realize that everyone that wears scams is going to continue to vote for tyranny. Scam wearers are willfully ignorant and they already signed on to accepting the one world government. Please do tell your friends and family this, like your life depends on it. Because it will depend on it if the New World Order takes over the United States.
Hold it right there, Biznich. You are not going to tell everyone to not listen to us. How dare you tell the 99% to not be compliant to our government mandates. Everyone needs to start getting gene therapy, support all the drag queen story times, and most importantly, you need to put the bloody scam on that face.
Never.
Don't you worry, little busy. I am going to make you the most compliant something darker than New World Order has even seen. But right now I am ordering you to get in my 1993 Geo Metro so I can take you to the drag queen story time. Today we are going to the library completely in the nude. We are gathering all the little 5-year-olds and we are going to teach them how to play with their holes and hole punches. They will practice on us first and them on to themselves.
If you are doing a drag queen story time, what book are you reading from?
We do not require a book to do drag queen story time, sir. We are creating life-lasting memories.
That is called grooming.
You shut up right this instant, green dude. Just feel that I am now going to remove your dungarees right this instant. I will now do an anal swab on that buttocks. I need to make sure you do not have COVID.
We all know you criminals cooked this up in the Wuhan laboratory, along with other labs. You all invented COVID just to get control over the world before your debt bubble bursts.
We need to make sure Sam Bankman-Fried does not go to prison. He has been bankrolling our funding to cook up all of our new gene therapies. We need his money also to pay off the judges so that we have no roadblocks to cull in the population.
He stole billions of dollars from people all over the earth.
But that is okay though, sir. He gave it to Democrats.
There should not be a two-tier justice system. Just because you give money to Democrats, or you are a Democrat, should not mean you are not guilty of all the crimes you commit.
I disagree, sir. Just because you give money to Democrats or if you are a Democrat, it should mean you are not guilty of all the crimes they commit. That's what helps us rule over you 99% dolts.
You just proved my point.
Just wait until we ban cash money and bring in a worldwide cashless monetary system. You'll need a mark of the beast in order to buy, sell, work and live. You will be the first person to say, Mr. Wiretap, please accept my hand in marriage so I can survive in G. Globalist is there. I will love you long time. Yeah. You think Subiz is a comedian right now while the digital currency has not been introduced yet. But we will see how fast it changes next year when we have a banking holiday.
I don't think so.
I think so. Now why are the pantaloons not resting in front of my person with your kumquats and your monkey fully exposed to the world? I need to check your person for any hand grenades, any butcher knives, or any extra carbon inside your junk.
No thank you. I am not falling for your tricks ever.
Somebody tell me, won't you tell me, why I work so hard for you, give you money, or to give you money?
You can keep your wham lyrics all to yourself.
You keep stepping in it. That was not what my ear canals were wanting to hear or rated, sir. Now let me read you your New World Order rights and I will be whisking you away to do the drag queen story time. We need to perform a puppy kink to the childrens. We always have to do it for the kids.
All you are doing to the kids is scarring them for life. You are ruining future generations with your lust for power.
Precisely, green dude. We are the princes of Depop, sir. We demand zero carbon on this something lucka by 2030 so we can give the earth to Lucifer, sir. You are thwarting our plans to do so. Now please let me inspect that junk and we can discuss your purchase of a Leisnacher suicide pod.
Everyone, do not let these globalists take away your soul. Or anyone's soul. We absolutely need to uphold Christ Jesus' namesake so we can preserve the earth for future generations.
Move
if
out
you
of
agree
the way.
To accept a microchip or go to digital currency, we will unfortunately be giving over the earth to forces who are not here for the good of the people. You need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on Runaites. His co-hosts are great. He brings on excellent guests and brings up all the news we need to know about. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live to check out Proof Negative's show. Please tell your friends.
If you dare to listen to the Proof Negative show, just know that us globalists will be very disappointed in you. You run the risk of being taken to a FEMA camp. That absolutely does not exist. Now if you can please do be helping me obtain pictures of all your junks, and assist me with obtaining said photograph of this green dude's junk, I would greatly appreciate it.
Alright.
What happened at the end? He has this close-up shot of his neck.
Yeah, I was wondering how that happened because when I played it back before I made the final cut, that it wasn't like that. I don't know how that changed, but I figured if it's at the end and you know how the wiretap always tries to get people to not listen to Freedomizer Radio, and the way it looked where it. Broccoli Man was moving and the wiretap kept getting in his way to hide the camera. I was like, oh, I'll leave it.
Yeah, it was funny. It worked.
So now you know what the wiretap was up to.
Yeah. He's trying to marry him. Oh, my God. He really wants his views. Kumquat, first of all. I know kumquats is a fruit, but what the hell are they?
You've never ate kumquats?
No, sir.
Oh. Let's see. They're much smaller than a tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't peel them. You just eat them skin and all.
Oh, okay.
I've never even seen one in a supermarket.
Oh, I have some in my fridge right now.
No way.
Wow.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I'm bougie like that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm not bougie enough, apparently, man. Ooh, I can't wait
to
be
retired.
So if
you see kumquats in the store, you'll buy them, V?
Yeah, man. I will definitely try them.
I'm
they
sure
like
they're there.
Absolutely.
Somebody has to sell them there.
They sell like a citrus? They taste like citrus?
They are citrus.
Oh,
and okay. they're always sold, not always, but in the grocery stores, they're usually sold in a clamshell.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out where they originate.
And then if you're lucky, you might find lime quats or mandarin quats, which are a little bit bigger.
Interesting. I know, right? Lime quats, mandarin quats, what are kumquats made of?
Uh-oh.
What?
No, just...
I'm just making an commenting, an observation on something I heard.
All right.
Oh my God. Oh boy.
So this is my last show of 2022.
Yes. How's it feel?
Yes, it is.
So I'm still looking for two co-hosts.
Right. What days?
Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Well, that sucks.
I have somebody that wanted to interview and try out the position, but I knew they weren't available the day after Christmas. That doesn't bother me. Now they're not available the day after New Year's, which I understand is a national holiday. I'm not going to get mad. But they want to try out the Monday after.
Wow. Got to wait 3 whole weeks to see if they're any good.
Yeah. And then Tuesday's just become a big black hole.
And what do you mean by that? Like, just one person after another not working out?
Well, Dahl was supposed to come back, but she's not ready. And then Leslie was wanting to take her spot, but then she's not available. So it's like every Tuesday I know that I have to find enough clips and find enough stuff for myself to talk to myself for 3 hours.
Right.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where I'm at the point where I'm starting to not be happy on air. And if I'm not happy and I quit, then nobody has a show.
Well, damn, that's true.
And I don't want that to happen. But I've been on air 15 years, so I can't say I failed. I'm just at the point where I've said almost everything I've ever wanted to say on air.
Right.
And I'm not trying to leave, but at this point, there's only so many more weeks before I say, you know what, I'm just tired.
What would you do without it? Because it's like, this is what you do all week almost.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, but I just feel like I said, I've done whatever I've wanted to do on air. It's just, for me now, I just feel bad that there's all these shows and I don't want to cancel all these shows on people.
Would you be willing to hand it over to someone else to take over, or you're going to let it go when you go?
I haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
And I guess I could use this as an analogy maybe, but we were extremely successful before 2015. From 2010 to 2015, if you go back at the archives, you'll see some serious numbers for our shows. But then after we got hacked, it's just been a long road, and it's just like less audience each passing year. And I feel like I'm a 47-year-old Michael Jordan that had really good numbers 10 years ago, but I'm 47 years old, and it's about time to let it go.
No, you created it.
Or maybe basically. I was Peyton Manning on the Denver Broncos, just one of those kind of things.
Maybe you could cut back on the number of shows you do so you don't wear yourself out, you know? Maybe you're...
No, because I honestly like the concept of having four different co-hosts. And for me, it's just a good opportunity for me to hang out on air and have four of my good friends online that I could talk to once a week. So I still like the concept. But just trying to put people in that position that I've had never a problem adding to our list of co-hosts. But the goal is to have interaction. and to have someone to talk to. It's not for me to prove I need to be here. And yeah, I'm kind of either all in or not in at all.
Gotcha. I was just curious. Like maybe do 1 or 2 days a week and leave those slots open. I think you could do, like, recruit a bunch of people who could have their own show and be, like, their managers and teach and train, you know. Might even make it
profitable. Yeah, but we're not even doing a good job bringing what I've brought in, one new show in the last 2 months.
I didn't realize. I don't know.
I'm not leaving in January or anything like that. I'm just saying that I feel like that sometimes. And if I get a couple of good co-hosts that work out, I'm happy again.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think you were saying you were leaving. But I understand you're saying you're tired if you have to keep trying to get people to follow through on what they say they're going to do. If they say they're going to be there, just be there.
Exactly.
Well, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you've been at a job 15 years and you're like, well, I could leave, but I don't know if I necessarily want to leave, but I'm kind of bored.
Right.
15 years fighting the New World Order is a long time.
It sure is.
Yes, it is. It's very frustrating.
Well, technically it'll be 15 years in March, I'm just saying. Freedomizer will be 13 years old next week.
Oh, wow.
So there's not really a lot of no-name networks that can stay on air 13 years.
That's very true. We stuck it out.
So I'm not cutting and running. It's just... I don't know if it's my time or not, because I just feel like if the support's not there, I don't want it to be like I'm here as an ego thing, but I want to be the Monday through Thursday guy, and I want to have co-hosts, and I want to do on Monday and Tuesday exactly what I do on Wednesday and Thursday, and that's just how I want to do business.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking maybe you restructure your business plan if it doesn't work, you know. You got to stick with what people are giving you. Meet them where they are. And the current state of mind, like, people are just wackadoo now. So consistent, so flaky. Inconsistent. It's a reflection of society right now that you don't have more numbers and that you'd have people flaking out on you to be a co-host and maybe not picking up hours in the month. With the slots you have available. That's just what it is. Society is lame.
Complacent?
Yeah, totally.
Complacent.
It doesn't
ambitious.
Complacent is the right word.
Right. Like, they're not ambitious. This is a whole new world to me. Because honestly, when Serena referred you to me, I didn't know what to expect. I have never listened to radio that was live on any website ever. I heard podcasts, and of course they were pre-recorded. So, and some people do them live with camera, like I guess Crowder, that guy.
Yeah,
but I was not.
No, it's common,
like,
but I'm not going on YouTube, and I'm not at the point where I really felt like doing Rumble. I could pay the $25 a month to add Rumble and do video, but I figured if we had an audience again, that would be something I could explore. But I'm not going to put it out there if it's not justified.
Right.
And I'm not one of those people that will blame others, so it's squarely on my fault for not finding the right people and how my business plan is structured. It's my own fault.
Well, maybe just advertising more. I mean, shoot, I haven't asked anybody. I could ask around. Imagine I could get some people who just want to do an hour and a half or even 3 hours. I don't know. of
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
hey,
and maybe
up.
They want their own show. And I'm right. good with that, too.
Right. Right.
But I guess I just feel like we're, as a society, we're so apathetic, and I see people putting on scams again. And
oh my God!
You know what gets me is when I go to a Christmas party, and the thing people are talking about is when they got their last gene therapy and when they upgraded their cell phone. It's like, I don't want to hear people talking about that. And then one person thinks they got COVID because they went to a sporting event without wearing a scam. And I'm like, are you serious?
That's better than one of the cop parties that I would go to where they talk about the latest arrest.
Yeah.
I'll tell
yeah.
you the most gruesome thing that they
God.
Did. While they were in custody. I don't know, you know. I guess it depends on your environment. Cell phone.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Hear stuff like that. At work, nobody's talking about gene therapies, I'll tell you that.
It's talking
nobody's
about
when talking
getting about where they got them and if they're rooting for their favorite side effects.
No. No. In fact, there's so many people who are resentful that they had to even get the gene therapy, and they still haven't rehired all the cops that they fired, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that the city's going to drag their feet on that one.
Yeah, for sure. They can slow walk anything, man. They can legally be told, no, you have to rehire them, and they'll be like, oh, we're going to challenge you. We're going to fight that. And then...
No, exactly. While we're waiting for the lawsuit to go through, we're going to hold back.
The whole
yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Bury the courts and paperwork and change the date and postpone. Somebody gets sick, change the judges. Oh, my God, you could go on for ages.
Mm.
And then they'll have to pay those people for all that time. It's a funny thing that they love to waste money.
It's the way government is, man. They'll people just not focus on what's going on, and just hop on bullshit.
Right.
And worry more about that. I mean, look at the... I don't know if you guys are talking about the George Santos thing at all. Did you discuss that at all?
I have
no.
not yet. I don't know what to think of it.
Let me tell you. I listen to radio talk shows all the time, while I'm driving. And the shit that I'm hearing coming out of people's mouth that this guy should go to jail, this man should recuse himself, this man should be this man should be that. And I'm like, did anybody forget that Joe Biden is a fucking crooked politician? Did anybody forget about the Hunter Biden laptop?
They did.
This guy did was embellish his career. That's all he did. He embellished his life. He hasn't harmed anyone, hasn't done anything. He hasn't profited. I mean, I'm not going to say he's gaining something from what he did, yes. But not like Joe Biden where he sold his country out. Completely sold us out. And
yep.
more people want to see him go to jail than, they want to see him go to jail. Some people say he should be criminally charged. I'm
right.
like, yeah, they should look into his finances. What about looking into Nancy Pelosi's finances, how she became a multimillionaire while she was in Congress?
That's right.
In 2020,
all the insider trading her husband did.
About insider trading. And she was the one that was they discussed, and nothing's being said about it anymore. All of a sudden, it didn't happen.
You gotta love how
people
Joe Biden
are just
changed
so
legislation.
Stupid.
He changed entire legislation for certain corporations in exchange for putting his sister, brother, son in one of their highest positions. Giving them a great
yeah.
salary under the condition that he got 10% of that salary from his family as payment and as thanks for all of work. Right.
And they're still saying that he abandoned Bagram at the insistence of the Chinese.
Right.
That's what's coming out now.
Right.
Ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? But this guy,
who said that he went to he worked for Goldman Sachs. He's gay. He's Jewish. his grandparents or someone in his family is Holocaust survivors. You know, oh, how dare he? You know, we voted for him because he said he was Jewish. Really? You vote for somebody just because they're Jewish? Not because of their not because of politics and what should be done? Come on,
identity,
man.
Politics,
you guys, people are just such morons. Such freaking morons, man. It's so pathetic, you know, how far, how low identity politics has gone in this country. That you'll vote for someone, you know, yeah, they get, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. But you know he's a communist. Yeah, but he's gay.
Yeah, but he's Jewish. He's a Democrat.
You know, not that I care about someone being gay, and I could give a shit. I do. You know, someone's a tranny. I'll tell you right now. I look at the thing you put up today with the frozen tomato sauce.
Me or V? Because I think we both posted it.
Oh, V. I'm sorry, V. Well, V put up. I want to know exactly where do they insert these things?
You know where.
But they have the JJs?
No, these are trans women, so that means they're a man assigned male at birth.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. The men can get pregnant now.
But they're assigned male at birth, so they still have male genitalia. They're inserting them into their rectum, into their anus.
Oh, my God. So basically, they're showing that they have hemorrhoids.
They're wearing a big
mask.
Fucking God,
excuse my language.
Yes, I know.
No,
they're taking a laxative, so they have. And when it comes down with the V8 tomato juice or tomato paste or whatever they.
Oh, look! Do they take pictures too? Do they wear a pad?
They do wear a pad, and yes, they do take pictures. They're all over YouTube.
Oh my God! What is going on, man?
They have tutorials where you can put fake blood in a pad and wear it around as though you were bleeding into it.
You know what? I think one day, you know, V, you just give me inspiration. I should, like, get food coloring, put it on a pad, you know, stuff a pad down my pants, walk into a Starbucks and just whip it out. Look, everyone, I had my period.
You'll get
wow.
You're going to standing ovation, bro. You'll get a standing ovation. You're not going to get the reaction. You're not going to get the reactions I think you think you're going to get.
Oh, they're going to throw me out. Oh, my God. It's just nuts, man. You know, and I had a discussion with someone, and I was telling them, I said, listen, I don't care, you're gay. You're gay, you're fine. And it's like the guy Matt Walsh. You know, he has nothing against people who are gay. He has something against not that he has anything against trannies, but he wants people to try to understand why they hate themselves so much that they have to change their gender. Like, what the hell is going on?
Right, and why the narcissism is being encouraged.
Why do you hate yourself so much that you need to change your gender? All right, and when it's clear that this is nothing more now. Like I said, what kind of a sane psychiatrist would say, yeah, you know what, you should have gender reassignment. You should be a woman. But did you ever take a look at yourself? You're never going to look like a woman.
But there's money in that, Vito. There's money in the surgery. Those top surgeries are huge money makers. And forget the bottom. And you know, to create a penis on a woman, you have to hack away part of her forearm to place it and shape it onto her where her vagina used to be. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Like I said, there's something definitely. Listen, I was in a diner the other day. I went to get breakfast. This is in Pennsylvania. I go to this diner all the time. And they had this guy, this young man working. I never saw him before, but he's working. And I go pay for the bill. Give my credit card. He hands me the receipt. And he's got fucking Sally Hansen fresh on nails. And I'm like, what did I just see here? I mean, why do you have to do this? I mean, I'm in Manhattan. I'm walking, and I see a person coming towards me with a skirt. You know, and it's kind of odd that the skirt goes almost down to the ankles. And I'm looking, I'm scrolling up, and I'm like, that's a dude. Got a purse on, shoulder bag, got the earrings, but that's a dude. You know, I'm in Costco in Kansas City. And I said, you know what, I'm here, got a little time to waste. Let me go register. Walk in, walk up to the counter, and I'm standing at the register, you know, wherever they check in, and this woman comes up to me, and I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? And it's a guy who's got makeup pancaked on his face, lipstick, earrings, Adam's apple, no chest, looks like Brittany Griner, but white. And I'm like, what the hell? And every time, you know, I would say thank you, I say thanks, dude. And I'm like, what the? And I catch myself, and I'm like, you know, not that I'm offending him, but I'm like, you know, this is how fights start. You call me a dude? You know, and I'm like, it's just, and I still want to hear from Brittany Griner's parents.
Sounds like a certain trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I got Diamond Carter cut me off on the show a couple weeks ago. When Brittany Griner, you know, I called him a dude. He's like, what do you mean a dude? I said, yeah, a dude. You know, and he's kind of saying, that's a cheap shot. I said, it's not a cheap shot. That's a fact. Meanwhile, he's kind of muting me. I wanted to say to him, have you seen the photos of Brittany shooting hoops without, like you were talking about it one day, I don't even see, breast reduction scars or anything like that on his chest.
Right, exactly.
Because it's a man.
Right, exactly.
I don't care. Brittany is a man. I don't care what anybody says. And Diamond Carter. And believe me, Diamond Carter is—he's not a liberal. He's not a leftist. He's a straight guy. But you know,
he's a straight guy.
You know, he goes to me. He goes, well, how would you feel, Vito, if that was your daughter, and they were talking like that? And then I turned around and I thought about it, and I said, well, if that was my kid, it would be my son. And he's like fucking having a meltdown on the air. Like, whoa, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you want to have your own show here? Is that it, Vito? And I'm like, dude, let me speak. Look at the pictures of her shooting hoops with no shirt on. It's a man's chest. You know, it's a man. I don't care. This is because he couldn't make it playing with men, and he's now a superstar with the women because he can be. Just like that swimmer could not win a race with the men, but all of a sudden jumps to the women's side, and he's the top. Yeah, he's the top swimmer in NCAA, and breaking records. And now all of a sudden the women are upset about it. Well, duh. Duh. You know, and like I said, I tell people, I said, I got nothing against it. If you're gay, man, I'll hug you. I won't kiss you, but I'll hug you. You know, congratulating you. I'm with you, but don't tell me you're a man when I know you're a woman, or you're a woman or you're a man, because there is something mentally freaking wrong with you. All right?
Isn't Brittany like 6'7", Vito?
She's a man. I don't care what anybody says. She raises her hands in the air. You know, she talks. When she speaks.
Oh, my God.
It's a man. It's a man's voice. You know, well, you know, I'm trying to. You know, no. You know, come on. Come on. Come on, man. you know, just chill the fuck out, people. You know, this is not what it is. This is an inversion of freaking reality. I'm looking at a man, you're talking to a woman, just like Michelle Albrecht. Let me tell you something. Today, I almost crashed my truck today when I heard on the radio. Michelle Obama came, I don't know if you spoke about this, but Michelle Obama came out that she hated Barack Obama for 10 years.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. And do you know what women are saying about this now?
No.
That if she runs for president, I'm going to vote for her.
Oh, no.
And I'm listening to proof. And I'm listening. It's a strong woman. Listen, I said it one day at work. Michelle Obama's a man. And one black guy is from the South. He goes, that's good. He's a religious guy. That's not a man. That's a woman. How dare you? She's a strong woman. I'm like, dude, you better look carefully, bro. That ain't no woman, man.
These people, yeah, they got you tricked. Joan Rivers.
Proof. They're laying the groundwork for her to come out and run for president. I thought of you, and I was like, God, man.
See, I've said that before. That's the only one that could beat Trump is Michael Robinson Obama because she's such a nice lady. But Ron DeSantis.
What about beating DeSantis,
Michael?
What about beating DeSantis?
I think DeSantis wins, and I don't care who runs.
Right.
But
right.
Trump is still out there pimping gene therapies. He's not going to understand it.
Right. And he's going to be to blame.
Yeah.
Operation Warp Speed is going to be to blame for all the people who died.
And that's, that's going to soon come to a head, man.
Yep.
If Trump beats DeSantis in the primary, it's not like I'm not going to vote for him. But at this point, Trump runs third in my head behind DeSantis and Rand Paul.
Oh, Rand Paul.
Yeah, but Rand Paul is always, you know, Rand Paul is like Ron Paul. They're always, they're not taken seriously.
That's
you
true.
Know, you'll hear, well,
oh,
Ron
I don't know
Paul
if Rand Paul is in that same boat as much, but Rand Paul doesn't really make a name for himself. I love when he fights Dr. Fraudy. But I think that he's not loud enough to take that spot. And I'm not saying he can't debate. But DeSantis can be loud if he has to be. And we know who Trump is. But I just see Rand Paul. I'm not saying he's not smart, but he's a little too nice.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't come across as I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, you got to play dirty.
I know exactly what you mean. You heard about Jamie Raskin, right?
What does he have, lymphoma?
Poor soul. Poor soul.
He can do that.
Poor soul.
Oh, man, there used to be that.
Hey, I don't want Democrats to die of lymphoma. I just don't want them running our country.
Yeah. And you know he's probably not vaccinated. I would bet money he wasn't vaccinated. He's in Congress. I'm sure he was told don't get the shot.
Yeah, vote for it to be mandatory, but don't take it.
Yeah, but still say, yeah, you have to take it, but I'm not taking it.
But I don't think anybody on the Democrat Party beats Big Mike if Mike decides to run.
Yeah, nobody.
You know,
it wouldn't.
I'm telling you right now. It would be a nightmare.
Okay.
It would be an absolute cluster. You know what? If
cluster cuss. You gotta say it like that, fantastic Mr. Fox. Are you cussing
at
me?
It's just crazy, man. This is, you know, plus with all the stuff now that we're starting to hear about children, you know, you know, you know, not doing well in school because of this pandemic. I mean, this is idiocracy, man. This is idiocracy playing out in front of us.
But can you imagine that they how is that not racist when they trot out Michael Robinson Obama, who's a nice lady, but they're going to promote her as, see, you should vote for him because he's black.
Well, yeah.
And you know that that's, I mean, what other qualifications does he have?
First black female, well, never mind.
In air quotes. Female in air quotes.
Yeah, but he can't say he's the first female black person to run for office. Cynthia McKinney ran as the Green Party in 2008.
Actually, Proof, there was a black person that ran for president many years ago.
I remember.
What's her name? She ran as a communist. She died the other day.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I was going to say, didn't she
she was the first black woman to get on the presidential ballot, and she ran as a communist, and she died. And it was funny. I called up because this was being discussed on one of the talk shows in New York City. We got Frank Morano, who's a leftist. He's a loony leftist in Staten Island. And, you know, I called up. I said, well, Frank, you know, the only good communist is a dead communist. And then he cuts in. He goes, well, you know, Gorbachev was a communist. This is really, I thought, you know what, and he cut me off. You know, at that point, then he goes on his spiel. And I felt like saying to him, I said, really, how many people did Gorbachev murder compared to Stalin?
Right, really? Like, what?
You want to compare communism? Let's go. Communist, let's go, dude. Come on. Come on.
Vito knows his history. Watch out.
I'm not. Listen, you want to hear someone who really can talk? You got to listen to Curtis Lewa when he's on the radio. Dude, you got to listen to him because he is so sharp, man. He's so witty. You know, he slams Adams every chance he gets, man.
He's better
every chance he gets. He calls him out of town Adams now. Out of town Adams. Yeah, he calls him the swagger man with no plan. his history. When he talks about it, he'll talk about history, and I'm like, wow, this guy really, he knows his shit. He knows his shit pretty good.
Who is it?
Yeah, I'm not getting it.
Hello.
Yeah,
you know, but
I
he
don't
should have been. You know, he should have been. He should have been the mayor. Now they opened up a legal pot shop in Manhattan, the first one. And now you're going to really start to see the city decline.
I like that Mayor Adams said, don't worry, Big Brother will help you.
Yeah. He's begging the government for money to cover it, to help the migrants out. But meanwhile, we have homeless, we have mentally ill homeless people running crazy in the city. And not for nothing, there's nothing that, you know, he says that they're going to get the police to get the, round up the homeless, the mentally ill homeless, and bring them to, you know, to psych wards. And this is what's going to happen at the psych wards. They're going to ask, the doctor's going to sit down with them, and they're going to take a look at this person who's obviously mentally ill. And the doctor's going to ask them, you want to hurt yourself? And they're going to say no. And then the doctor says, there's nothing more I can do. This person doesn't want to hurt himself. And they got to let him go. You can't force someone to take their meds.
Can't hold them against their will.
You cannot force someone to take meds.
and you can't criminally charge them because they're emotionally disturbed.
Yeah.
So how is it you can't get someone to take meds, but you can force them to get a gene therapy?
Oh, well, there
preaching.
You go. Poop read my mind.
Hallelujah.
Poop just read my mind. Truth, you just read my mind. I was just going to comment on that.
Oh.
Yep. How can you? How is it possible that you can't, you know, you can't get someone to take their meds, but yet you could force someone? Listen, this is like when I had COVID last year. And, you know, when the nurse said, you know, your blood oxygen is 88, which honestly, I didn't notice any difference in my breathing. And then when the doctor heard her say that, as he was walking by, he looked and goes, if you don't get that number up, you're staying here. And I, right after he left, he walked away because I'm not going to listen to this fucking jerk-off. I looked at her and I said, if I stay here, you guys are going to kill me. And she goes, no, we'll get that number up, I promise. She knew, she reacted like she knew exactly what I was talking about. It was crazy. She got my blood oxygen level up to 95, like within 10 minutes, and I ran out of that hospital. I'm like, you people are not keeping me here.
It took you 10 minutes to get your blood oxygen up?
Yes. It's a simple, it's proof. All you got to do is just keep taking deep breaths.
Okay.
And you'll watch the number go right up. It just shoots right up. Crazy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
Too bad they didn't do that before they put all those people on ventilators.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. Oh. Hello.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're gonna vent me and then you're gonna blow out my lungs? No, I don't think so.
They had those things dialed up so high. They killed every damn, and they didn't learn from the first two or three deaths.
Yeah. It's like when you're filling your car, because now the new cars now, when your car tell you that your tire is low on pressure, at the same time, when you hit the right number, the right pressure, your horn goes off. Well, your horn's going off, but I'm still inflating the tire. That's exactly what's going on here.
I mean, they made a fortune. What did they make, $16,000 off every person that got on the vent?
Every person that they vent. They
live
to die. Good money for it, man. And we need more vents. Cuomo, we need more vents.
He said we needed 40,000 to 50,000 vents. And Trump was like, no, you don't. He was like, you have a ton in your stockpile already. And he was like, well, those were not taken out because they're exactly for that. They're reserved. They're meant to be there. He's like, we need new ones for all these people.
Yeah, for sure.
He got a hospital. He got a boat. He got a tent city. He got Jacob Javits.
He didn't even use it.
They
didn't even use that stuff.
And then what Cuomo does is start giving away the vents that he already had in the stockpile to Florida, to Arizona, to all these other weird states. And then he's like, oh, we don't need them. And then they don't tell you how much they're spending per month. The legislators refused to share the information. Then they gave Cuomo the power to change the state laws at will with no checks and balances. He had the most supreme power. And then we find out he touches
he
a few ladies inappropriately. And he gets
he
to walk away scot-free from changing the order for killing the elderly that his staff even threw him under the bus for. They knew.
Well, yeah, they threw him under the bus for alleged sexual harassment, and I'm sure he did. But that's nowhere close to all the people that he helped kill off with those senior seniors.
Yeah, my friend's mother, she was 3 months from 100 years old at a nursing home. And the doctor, he told me, the doctor says, well, did COVID kill her? He goes, we don't know. The doctor said they couldn't even test for COVID. They were forbid. They were prevented from testing for COVID. Couldn't even test her.
And she died alone.
And then they buried her. They buried her out in Long Island at the National Cemetery with his father. And then they didn't want. They wound up having them. They just buried her there. There was no family watching. This, her getting put in the ground. They just had cemetery workers put them in the ground, And then about a year and a half later, they had more than this. Well, like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, how come these people could be, how come gravediggers could be around, but we can't? This makes no sense.
And they only allowed like two or three family members in the wake. You only got 5 minutes to be with the family.
This makes no, this was total control, man.
Yeah,
and
no science behind it. It was like, just do what we say, okay? But then George Floyd has three funerals with celebrities, musicians, politicians.
Yeah.
In plain sight and full view for all of you to see that none of these are as important as this person.
Like I said, the image, I didn't like the image of the cop with his leg, you know, and it wasn't on his neck the whole time. It was on his shoulder most of the time. I didn't like the image of it. You know, people saying stop. You know, they had everything under control. My opinion, I'm Monday morning quarterback, and I understand that. But you know what? They had enough there. He wasn't resisting. He wasn't being violent. He was under control. He was quiet. He was saying he can't breathe because he was freaking overdosing on fentanyl or whatever he was that he ingested. And, you know, all of a sudden we got to burn America down, you know, and the Black Lives Matter, you know, which, oh, by the way, I was up in Buffalo yesterday, in the Buffalo area, and let me tell you something, man, the amount of snow that's up there, oh, my God. Unbelievable. And they're using, you know, they're finding bodies and snow drifts, and meanwhile, I'm driving down the street, down this big road, and they got these big snow blowers that look like lawnmower men on steroids, just eating snow and spitting it out. And I'm like, imagine what happens when they finally hit a body. What's going to happen? Ah,
golden casket. Oh, sorry.
The thought of it. The thought of it is unbelievable. But what are you going to do? You know?
I figured out, because I'm all the way over here in New York, that George Floyd funeral was all staged, it was all theater, theatrics, but of course the whole death was staged, because we've got three different looking officer, whatever his name was, that put the knee on the so-called neck. We found out that he wasn't calling for his mother when he had his last moments on camera. And then the people who stopped to record, the officers who stood there, one stood just frozen, staring into the camera. The other one who wordlessly, just like mindlessly, kept his knee on the back of so-and-so until he stopped moving. And the girl who recorded everything on her cell phone, she got a GoFundMe where she was. They raised almost $600,000 for her. What the hell, she made money like that?
People made money, boy. Well, because she had a court case. She was arrested also on something else prior to that, I think. But meanwhile, Black Lives Matter, the top people, stole millions. I mean, this took millions of dollars for their own personal use.
But it's okay, though, because they're black.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
you know,
and it's liberal.
It's for a cause. It's for a cause, fool. It was for a good cause.
But look at that basketball player. Is it Stephen Jackson or Steven Jackson? I don't want to say his name.
Know.
But he had this so-called lookalike emerge out of nowhere. He made this complete BS story up about how he was friends with George Floyd. They were introduced to one another by a friend who was conveniently dead. They lived 5 hours away from each other. And in the 90s, people didn't have cell phones. Like, you mean to tell me that you jumped in a car and you drove 5 hours to go and be introduced to this guy whose life was all about drugs when yours was all about basketball, and you called him your twin. And shortly after that, George Floyd goes to jail. You start your career as a basketball player. You go pro. George Floyd comes out and starts his career as a criminal. And y'all kept in touch through all that? I think he's full of crap, and the only reason that they brought Stephen Jackson in was because he looks just like George Floyd. Yes, he's the same height. Yes, similar features. And they needed somebody. And now the funny thing is, the only person who would have known if he had ever known George Floyd for real was if he had somebody that he referred to as a twin. Well, not one of the only people. It's Kobe. And Kobe.
And Kobe's dead.
Just before George Floyd's death.
Interesting.
Because he was in school and in training with Stephen Jackson.
Mm.
So, and there's pictures of him supposedly at the funeral, and he's looking just like George Floyd with a mask on his face. So conveniently, the mask. Looking just like George Floyd. So the irony that George Floyd could attend his own funeral because the casket was too short. It was about 5'8", or 6 foot. The man was 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
So they had a short casket, a horse-drawn carriage for the casket. Ridiculous. And then they said that it was an open casket. So the way I'm thinking they got around the open casket was there was a company that was in the neighborhood where he died that had CPR mannequins that looked real life. They looked like real people. And they even had them look like black people, Asian people, white people. They could have very easily put a black CPR mannequin in the casket. It doesn't have to fill it up. It doesn't have to be 7 feet long. And put a suit on it and tell everybody that that's him. People look different when they're dead. Who would know? They're not friends with George Floyd.
No. Yeah.
They lived 5 hours apart. Okay, they had nothing in common. The friend that supposedly introduced them is dead. Nobody can corroborate this story. But they had to bring in a lookalike because they were not killing Mr. Floyd. It was a that. And then one of the cops that was helping him hold George Floyd was a white one, there was a black one, right? The black one was seen in a supermarket by a young lady. She spotted him right away. She was like, what are you doing out of jail? And he's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, you made bail? She's like, your bail was $500,000. How did you have that kind of money? And he was like, oh, excuse me, like, I'm just going to get my thing to go. And she was like, why are you out here? She would not let him go. And he was like, I just came out for some essentials. The man had a Oreo, a gallon of milk, and whipped cream food. You going to tell me, in a pandemic, after you are caught on camera, supposedly assisting in the death of a black man, you made $500,000 bail. You went to the supermarket for Oreos, milk, and whipped cream, like all this kosher. Get the hell out of here. I don't buy it for you.
Hello.
Biggest act ever. They burned down a whole precinct for this.
Yep, for something. Yeah, for nothing that made sense.
And as
I
a
think
conservative,
this is all planned.
You say something about somebody's pronoun or not wanting to, you're violent. But let me put a Molotov cocktail through the window of a police precinct, and I'm not violent. I'm doing something for, you know, against the system. And remember, you can't spread COVID when you're in a protest.
That's true.
No, absolutely not. No. Yeah, mass groups,
civil rights.
No.
You cannot spread them. Yeah, 1,400 doctors was it that signed off on agreeing that there was no spread and that when it came to pandemics and it came to social justice, that social justice wins and pandemics take a back seat.
Unless you're Chinese also getting on an airplane now, that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah, you can come to America, but you have to take precautions.
It's amazing. You know how many times those people in China get tested proof? They can't leave the damn house. They go to their job. They get in a taxi cab. They have to have a green screen on their cell phone. They have you can't go anywhere without the green light to go. You can't get on a train. You can't get on a bus. So they're going to go through all of that in their own country, get on a plane. Of course, they have to have the green all the way. And then come over here and have to get tested? That is wild. So insulting. Oh, my God. I don't think it's xenophobic. I think it's an insult. And the government over there was making people's screens red just for showing up at a protest. They're all negative for COVID, but guess what? You're on lockdown.
All right. Well, we got like 2.5 minutes left here. Anything else you want to get in on, Vito?
Well, what else is there? Oh, yes. I can now marry people in New York State.
Okay.
Yeah, V, you too.
Yeah, you don't even need a the license. You don't
need a license. Governor Hochul now made it so anyone can marry anyone in New York State. Now, can anyone issue a divorce decree?
I thought you were talking about how Wiretap could marry Broccoli Man.
I just wonder now if they could issue divorce decrees if anyone without being a lawyer present.
Well, that'll be interesting. You'll have
if
to figure out how to
get married.
If
it's easy to get married, it should be just as easy to get frickin' divorced.
It really isn't, though. I was just saying that when I got divorced, I had to wait a year to see if we changed our mind or to complete the time that they felt fit the description of that neglect, that marital neglect, constructive abandonment.
What?
Yeah, so you needed a year separated on paper. So you filed for separation first. Of course, that costs
money. Is that
money.
How it works?
And then, no, that was when I got divorced. Now you can just walk into the courthouse with your spouse, and if you have no assets that you want to share, you have no children that you want to, like, have custody battles over, you can walk out in the same afternoon divorced with your paperwork. It'll cost you a few $100. You know, you've got a lot of notaries to go through, and you've got to pay the county clerk.
But what about, you know, I want half his pension.
Right, that's the stuff that they – you can't have – it's got to be an uncontested divorce. You can't have anything.
And you can't change your mind after that?
Once you're divorced, like, that's it.
Sure
it's time to hold on to the hammer.
Yeah,
speaking about that's it, it's almost 9 o'clock here on the Pacific Swatch Watch. So thank you for being here, Vito. Thank you for being here, V.
You got
I will
it.
See you next week. Please support the other shows
happy
on
New
the
year.
Network. It's not just a negative show here. Have a happy New Year, V. Have a happy New Year, Vito, as well as
happy
the audience.
Happy New Year.
Until Monday, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember only the best of the worst life. Negative, negative.